much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. You hear me now speaking? Is that about the right tone of voice?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I want to talk about 2012. What do you think?
Well, can you expand on that?
Dude, don't do that, dude. Ow, dude, stop that. Dude, ow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Dude, I'm not fooling around. Dude, stop that, dude. Ow, dude, don't do that.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
If celebrities didn't want people pouring through their garbage and saying they're gay, they shouldn't have tried to express themselves creatively.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Kevin, I just want to let you know that you are wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. R-O-N-G, wrong.
And now.
We need to talk.
Not true.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
I was cutting it close.
Welcome to another day.
How long have you been here? How long do you reckon you've been in the building?
I would say 14 seconds.
Sounds about right. Well done, Kevin.
Thank you.
I see, and now, and then at that moment, like a bullet coming into the room, I see Kevin flinging off his coat and reaching for the headphones as he dashes through the door.
I'm not exceptionally early.
Yeah.
I think it would be safe to say.
I think that would be appropriate.
Yes. We are going to take your telephone calls for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew coming up in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. So I'm talking to my dad. My dad, the chief, is in town visiting a few days over the weekend. And I don't remember how the topic of Ted Kennedy came up. But my dad said, boy, I sure wish that guy would just die.
Wow.
I know a few people that are dancing in the streets today.
He had that kind of power.
This was like 2 days ago. He said, I wish the guy would just die. So I says to him, I says, would it be okay if he just stepped down from the Senate and he have to actually die? He says, no, I think he should die. And I said, but they keep reelecting him. The people in the district where he represents, you know, the people of Massachusetts where he represents, they keep reelecting him. Is it okay if they want him to be their senator? No.
I think your dad has the right idea.
Well, apparently that's how it works because last night word came that he had in fact died. So I hope my dad is really enjoying his vacation now.
How about that? He must be thrilled.
I need to be very careful to stay on his good side. I'll tell you that if he's got the ability to do that.
Now, have you tried it out? Have you tried to let's pick somebody and have you say you wish they die?
I'm not gonna. I don't want that kind of ability. Uh-huh. I don't want the actual murder button.
All right.
No, I mean,
not anyone would want to. You would.
Wouldn't that be awful though if you could just think it? You know, and they'd die. I mean, that would be a horrible, horrible thing. You'd have to constantly control your thoughts.
Well, yeah, that would be the thing. That would be the problem because once in a while you'd make a mistake.
Like the state of Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, exactly.
You would need like a Regis who would reason through it with you and then ask if that's your final answer because you don't
exactly.
want the first thought that comes to your mind, that would be disastrous.
Yeah exactly.
But, if I had that power, this world would be a better place.
Well, it would just be here.
Be you and the Victoria's Secret girls, right? That would be just about it.
That's it. That's all.
Be all that would be left.
The Summer of Death.
So anyway, good times with that. I wonder how my dad feels. I wonder if he's as happy as Lisa's friends, or if he actually feels a little bit bad that he said that now.
That's a good question. A person who says, I hope he dies, and then you say, is it okay if he just steps down? No, he's got to die. He's happy.
I think he's happy.
Okay.
He really is. He's like, yes, thank you, God.
Oh, they'll cover it up. I'll call my friend later, and he'll say, well, I don't wish anybody death.
Oh, sure, yeah. I never see that happen.
Yeah,
that
of course.
That doesn't bring me joy.
But I hate it.
Anyway, we're high-fiving.
So I guess the Kennedy curse is real. Here's another one.
Yeah, I was only 77.
Yep.
And had brain cancer for years.
Is that what he died of, brain cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, kids, because the Kennedy curse was because his two brothers were both assassinated when they were in their 40s. Yeah. So for years, there was considered to be a Kennedy curse. Then, of course, John F. Kennedy Jr., you know, he died in the plane crash. He was real young and stuff. But I don't think Ted counts. I think he's...
Yeah, he may be the only one who didn't.
How about if we wait? How about if we wait for the coroner's, you know, report? Maybe.
Oh.
We don't know.
See what Dr. Conrad Murray was doing that night, right?
And Eunice just died, right?
Yep.
She kind of counts. And she was a young lady who had everything ahead of her.
Yes, she was.
She was like,
looking forward to life.
She was like 7th, 8th grade, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, she got cheated out of a lot of good years. You're right. Eunice was, I don't think she hit puberty yet. Or she was in her 90s. One of the two.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Amin's What It Do, Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Get in the air, get a prize. Today, it's a brand spanking new Kevin Amin t-shirt. So, won't you please enjoy.
All right, let's begin with Kurt. Hi, Kurt.
What's that? Good morning, Lisa
May. Oh, sorry.
Good morning, Kurt.
Hey,
what did you do?
This is more than my wife, but Kevin,
yes.
We looked on the site, and every shirt or every picture of you,
stop
you
it.
Have a striped shirt on.
So what? I don't pay attention to what shirts I wear.
But every day?
And by the way, Miss Cleo wrote up stripped shirt, so I don't know what she's talking about, but...
Maybe she's just wishful thinking there, Kevin. She wants to see what you got going on under there.
I'm not wearing a striped shirt today. It's
strangely
true.
Enough, you're not.
Yeah.
If you look on the website under your pictures, every shirt, every picture you're in, you have a striped shirt on.
Yeah,
well, Kurt, let me tell you something. Kevin doesn't just wear the same shirt or the same hoodie every day. He actually has thousands of striped shirts that he just rifles through and gets dressed in the dark.
I do.
So
yeah.
We can't blame him.
Even his shirts are striped, but then one day he's wearing a jacket, and it was striped.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
Well, that's what you get for looking at pictures, dude. Those aren't interesting.
My wife still thinks you're cute, so you're doing all right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Wow.
Everyone here mocks me. Every time I wear a striped shirt, it's like now that that's the thing, I wear one a week, and they go, oh, striped shirt.
Except what? You don't wear one a week.
But I'm saying if I did. If.
Okay.
All right.
It's also okay if you wear a striped shirt, too, by the way.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with striped shirts. People just think it's funny that you have so many, I think, because most of us don't.
Well, they can suck it. All right, let's go to Alvin. Hi, Alvin.
Hi, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I actually have a question.
Yes.
What qualifies as a cougar? Because I've been dating a 34-year-old, and I don't... I'm 19.
Yeah.
I would say so, that
that's
does.
A cougar with a capital C.
That is. It doesn't have to be over 40.
Well, I don't think so. It's just the amount. It's just I think the number of years between your age and her age.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's 34. You're 19. That's a cougar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Are you just calling to brag that you're scoring with
her? No. Because I've been told different things. I've been told that over 40 and pursuing a younger man or. Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. It would not be a cougar relationship if she was still 34, but you were 28. That's not a cougar relationship.
Right,
it's just that
right.
There's enough of an age difference between you two.
Right. I had heard the minimum age for cougar to meet cougar criteria was 40, though.
Yeah, I don't think there is a minimum age.
I don't think
age
that's true.
For the criteria. Yeah.
Women okay. under 40 will tell you that so that they can classify themselves as not cougars.
Ah.
Got it.
That's what it
now,
is.
Now, let me ask you this, Brago, and that is, they always say that these relationships are great for the sex because you're at your sexual peak at 19, she's at her sexual peak or getting into her sexual peak at 34, so you guys are just doing it all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty unreal.
Okay.
All right.
Good on you.
For you.
Well done.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Monique. Hey, Monique. What
Good morning, party people.
What's going on?
Good morning.
I was at the Green Day concert last night.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I hung around afterwards, and I met Billy Joe and Mike.
No kidding.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I almost passed out.
That would have been awesome. Hi, Billy. This is my sound effect for falling.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you hang out to meet those guys after a show?
I just hung outside of the Great Western Forum.
Just kind of
okay,
hung out.
And then you just saw them when they came
place.
Out.
Yeah,
they put on a hell of a show, don't they?
Oh my God, it was so awesome!
Yeah, they are good. They are good performers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more to the story, like a conversation that you had, or anything like that, or just that you saw another human?
Well, no, I got Billy Joe's and Mike's autograph, and I got my picture taken with Mike. And oh my God, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Wow,
somebody sounds orgasmic.
Oh, I was.
Still is.
Still am.
Congratulations for you. All right, let's move along to Dominique, who has a rare celebrity sighting, I think. Hi, Dominique.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What's up?
What it do?
Psycho Mike. Hey.
Yeah.
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 Nothing. I was at Mike's backyard at PCC yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And ran into Joe Montana and his son Nate.
No kidding.
Joe Montana, knuckles, and I threw my knuckles out in return, and we fist bumped. It was pretty sweet.
Wow.
Wow, how about that?
Good times.
Yeah. And
you say anything to him?
Just hi, you know, how's it going? You know, welcome to son of the campus. Pretty much it. I don't want to mob him or start a mob, so I just let him go on his way. But
that's cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Joe Montana is one of those guys who was in the NFL and was so successful
mm-hmm.
that anybody that even loves football, you know, follows him and is impressed by him.
Yeah.
Even though he's a 49er. All right. Thank you for the call, Dominique. All right. Do we have...
I wouldn't mind squeezing Mike in if we have time for just one more.
Yeah, same thing. Hi, Mike.
Me?
Yes, you.
All right.
Is your name Mike?
What it do?
What it do?
So, last night my wife watching that, Chloe and Courtney Take Miami, right?
Right.
Yep.
And, they have that side business of that clothing store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Chloe the dyke, or I'm sorry, can I say that?
I mean, you were insinuating.
Kind of look like, how about that?
Yeah, that she's like. Lesbian.
And then, so she finds this vial of cocaine in the dressing room. And for whatever reason, she panics and puts it in her purse or her pocket or whatever. And she does a show down there, a radio show, and she brings it into the station and acts like she's doing a line on air.
Yeah.
The producer comes in, and he bangs on that window, blah, 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 tells him to cut it out and wants her in the office. Bottom line, she gets busted and suspended.
Wow.
And it was crazy.
Hold on a sec. How can she get busted and suspended? She doesn't work for the radio station. She was just there to do an interview, right?
No, I believe she does. a daily talk show on that radio station.
Correct. And she was in there and she brought it out and her sidekick there was like, man, what are you doing? And you need to put that up.
And she's saying on the air, because I saw a clip on The Soup.
Right. I watched that. I happened to come across that. It had to be a setup. This whole thing's a stunt because...
I'm sure.
You guys
to make
know,
her show interesting.
You guys yes. know. You've worked in radio long enough. If the producer was really mad at you and then took you into the general manager's office to then suspend you, there ain't no cameras in there.
Yeah, true.
They followed her around in the whole thing and they're like, now, Chloe, you have to understand. You can't bring illegal drugs into a studio. And then the fact that she decided to take a good 2 grams of cocaine that she found at her store and just throw it in her purse. Let me hold on to this for a while and see what kind of trouble I can muster up with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed
way too
much. That's
what I was telling my wife last night. She's, I don't know, she's pretty airheaded. It could have all just been legit.
That's true, too. I don't know.
I think it's like the show they did with the Hulk's daughter where everything was set up.
Yeah.
It's just the same way because they're just not that interesting.
Right.
What's her radio show about? Just other transgenders? Or does she pretty much just talk about that that man-woman runner?
Just that runner from South Africa.
And Jamie Lee Curtis. Idea. Last night, I didn't even know she had a radio show until
Yeah, well, used
night.
To.
Yeah, I didn't either.
All right, that's
then
good.
How about her older sister, Courtney, making out with that chick in the club?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's what I'm talking about.
Smoking.
That's the way it should be. All right, thank you, Mike, for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Bye
easy.
Now.
Bye.
Be easy.
Be easy. I like that.
And eat
Me
fruit.
Too.
Do we eat fruit as well or just be easy?
Both.
Who was it that said that?
The Hulk.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Piers Morgan, who is a judge on America's Got Talent.
He's a good one.
In like most him. Cases, America does not have talent, though.
True.
In most cases, it's not so good.
I watched a little bit of that show last night. I don't generally watch it, but there are some pretty impressive acts this year.
Yeah. Some of them are tap dancing, though. And
some of them are dog acts.
Even if you're the best tap dancer in the world, you're still tap dancing. So that doesn't really work. So anyway, Piers Morgan is kind of the one guy who knows what's talking about on that show. And then there's Sharon Osbourne, and then there's David Hasselhoff. So so he's probably the best judge. We got David Alan Greer in studio.
Yeah,
that's right.
Funny man talking about the Bray Improv shows that he's got. We have marriage proposal rejections. You always see people, like, I don't know, on the big screen at a baseball game, and they've got to do it in as public a forum as possible. And if the woman says no, that's really, it's devastating for the guy, but it's really funny for the rest of us. So we're going to take your calls on that in the 8 o'clock hour. We have Kevin and Bean, Citizen of the Day. We have Emil Hirsch.
Oh, I love him so much.
We'll be coming into the studio. How about that?
That's pretty
awesome. Lisa's got a little bit of a crush on Emil Hirsch.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I was telling Bean off air that Into the Wild is absolutely on my top 10 list.
Is it really?
I love that movie, and I thought he was so good.
I thought it was good.
Top 10, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he was so great in Milk, too.
He was.
He was great in Milk.
He's a terrific actor.
Yes. So we're going to talk to him today as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
We're going to talk to our friend Ralph Gurman on the phone in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He normally would be standing in front of us getting ready to do the Showbiz Beat, but he's got the jury duty today. And boy, is he not happy about it.
He is thrilled.
So in California, I guess you call in the day before to find out whether you're required to attend the next day, which I guess is a pretty good system because that way you don't go down there and just sit around all day waiting to be called. So at least you get a heads up that they want you. But now it's a question of whether he gets seated on a jury or not. So we're going to be talking to him in about 15 minutes. I think he's going to be looking for tips on how to get out of it, though. I don't think he's very excited about potentially being impaneled.
They finally brought me down there, and I just sat there all day, and they didn't call my name. It was probably 200 of us, and probably 170 of them were called, and they went and did their thing.
And not you.
It's me and a couple people.
Wasn't Jason Schwartzman one of them?
Jason Schwartzman was there, yes. That was odd.
I think that's a good call, not letting Kevin on a jury. Don't you guys?
Like, come absolutely. Come on now.
Let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday, though. The big news yesterday, I guess Chris Brown probably already knew ahead of time, is my guess, what was going to happen, because yesterday was the sentencing, and he had worked out a plea deal on his assault on his girlfriend Rihanna. But here's what he got, if you haven't heard. 5 years probation, so not a day in jail. 6 months community labor, which may involve you driving down a freeway, seeing Chris Brown picking up trash. It may involve you seeing Chris Brown removing graffiti on walls. He also has to stay away from Rihanna for the next 5 years.
Wow.
That was interesting to me, by the way, because I always wondered, not so much in recent weeks, but certainly in the first couple of months after this happened, if they were laying low, staying apart from each other because they had to for publicity, if for nothing else, and that after the sentencing was done, they would get back together. Well, it sounds to me, according to this judge's ruling, that even if Rihanna wanted to get back together, she wouldn't be able to. So he's got to stay away from her for the next 5 years.
That seems like a long time.
It sure does. He is not to contact her via phone or through another person. He has to stay at least 100 yards away from her, unless it's at an industry event that they're both invited at and have to be at. Then they have a 10-yard distance that they must maintain.
Oh, my God.
It's really weird because you picture a cop walking around behind them with a tape measure.
Yeah. Right.
No, 9.5. Let's go. Move it.
He also has to take a 52-week domestic violence program. He has to pay about a whole year. Yeah, he has to pay $5,000 for restitution and probation charges. And if he violates any of the terms, the judge said that Chris could be sent to state prison. He's going to be servicing a sentence, by the way, in his home state of Virginia. The other thing that came out about Chris Brown yesterday that I did not know is there were no arrests involved in previous incidents, but it turned out there were at least two other occasions where there was violent behavior toward Rihanna. He pushed her in one incident, and tell me if this one is not already a deal-breaker before you get your face beat in, Lisa. Apparently, 3 months before that in Europe, they were in a verbal dispute. He got out and smashed the windows in the car that they were driving. Broke both the front driver and passenger side windows. Now, isn't that enough of a wake-up call if you're a woman in a relationship?
You would think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's 99% of the time. This isn't something that someone does out of the blue who's never done it before.
Yeah, you see the signs way before.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
So they were driving a Range Rover that had been lent to them while they were in country.
So and he's got an out idiot and violent.
Smashed the windows out. So
wow.
Anyway, so I mean, I don't know how people feel about whether that's an appropriate sentence or not, but I mean, he's certainly not going to forget that incident for a while. That's
I sure don't think most domestic violence incidents end up like this. I think they should, but this
meaning
punishment seems way
this?
Bigger than what you usually hear.
Well, that's okay with me.
No, I'm happy with it. Yeah. I just wish they did it more.
TMZ has a story about Dr. Conrad Murray. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
This is Michael Jackson's doctor. The LAPD say they are not buying his story that he gave Michael Jackson such a small dose of propofol. Supposedly, he died from a lethal level of propofol. It was a lethal level because Dr. Murray's been saying, oh, you know what? I
mixed it with lidocaine. I gave him half the dose.
A really tiny 1/16. According to Dr. Murray, of what it would take to kill a person Michael Jackson's size. So he's saying, I didn't even get anywhere near it.
Yeah, he's making it sound like he cut it with ice cream and Coke.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola, you know, it was barely any in there. But the weirdest thing about this Dr. Murray, and I guess all this will come out, is the timeline just isn't adding up. I mean, they have all these stories about how he made a bunch of phone calls before he called 911, and
I heard a report this morning. He was on the phone for like 45 minutes, making four different phone calls.
Yeah, that's
before you call 911.
That must be because he knew 100% that this was going to happen. Michael was dead. He's going to go up the river. And he was probably trying to get people to get, you know, empty the warehouses or whatever. But it seems like this argument, hey, I didn't give him as much as I could have.
Of this illegal substance.
Really is irrelevant. He's dead.
Yeah.
So that's what matters. However much you gave him was too much.
Well, and there are toxicology reports, I think, that would probably and have probably disproved what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, he had Valium that night. He had, I forget, one other.
There was a bunch of stuff.
Like Xanax or something like that. And then he finally ended up giving him this. And he says he stepped out to go to the bathroom for a couple of minutes. When he came back, he was dead.
Mm. Yeah.
So no one believes Dr. Conrad Murray.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before he gets arrested. Psycho Mike, this one's for you. Pete Townsend of The Who, back in the news. I know it's hard to believe a band that's been together for more than 40 years is still writing and planning on recording a new album, but they are. This concerns me, though, because Pete Townsend, who is the lead guitarist and songwriter for the band, is doing a musical on what he calls on aging and mortality, using the powerfully angry context of rock and roll. Okay, so far so good. The musical is called Floss. Now,
Floss.
What?
I don't care how talented you are. I don't care if you're the guy who wrote Won't Get Fooled Again. There's no possibility that a musical called Floss is going to be any good.
You're right.
It can't be done.
As in dental?
No.
Maybe he means like flossing, like really balling. You know what I'm saying? Like
no,
maybe
I've never
they're
heard
getting
that
some,
term.
They're getting some Escalades on 30s, you know, and they're really flossing, G.
I'm saying stop it. I'm saying stop it is what I'm saying.
I'm saying
he's
the maybe guy it's hip hop.
He said, I hope I die before I get old in that one song, remember?
Sure.
But he didn't, and he should have. Because when you get to the point where it's floss time, it's time to hang it up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
If you had to guess which member of Fall Out Boy was going to be arrested,
Oh! Who
do you think it would be?
Well, I think it would be Pete Wentz.
Pete Wentz, yeah. Well, it's not him. It's Patrick Stump.
Stump.
And the singer.
The singer of Fall Out Boy, yeah. He was busted around midnight on a traffic warrant in Beverly Hills. And he's being held in West Hollywood Sheriff's Station on $15,000 bail. So, in this story, Patrick Stump is in jail. Pete Wentz, we could go wherever he wants.
Huh. I'm sorry. What did they say he did? What did he get arrested for?
Some kind of traffic violation. Traffic warrant, they said.
Well, if he's still... Oh. So like an outstanding warrant,
yeah,
maybe?
So it must have been something he was supposed to take care of and didn't.
And didn't. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Pete Wentz is so jealous he's in West Hollywood's prison.
That's true.
And I'm going to close with this, Kevin. I know you make fun of us for watching the Antiques Roadshow, those of us that love that program.
Oh, dear God.
But you... Even you would have enjoyed this one.
Nope.
The Daily Mirror says the British version of Antiques Roadshow had a man show up recently with an antique-looking bottle that he had paid around $1,600 for. Now, for folks who haven't seen the show, you bring in your junk that you think may be worth something, and they go, hey, that painting you got at a garage sale for $200 turns out to be a famous artist, and it's worth $30,000. I mean, stuff like that happens on the show pretty often. So he paid $1,600 for this fancy bottle, right?
I am so bored.
He shows it to the experts. The host says, I got some bad news for you. This is a bottle from Tesco, an English grocery chain. It was made last year. It's a 2008 olive oil bottle from last year. It's worth Zippo. You paid $1,600 for it. You're an idiot.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I'm very sad to report that the man was so embarrassed that the TV show has determined that they think it's too humiliating to air. So they're not
really?
Because wouldn't you love that so much?
Well, isn't that the only reason to watch that show is to see people's dreams dashed?
Yeah.
How do you feel if you're the guy who paid $1,600 for an olive oil bottle?
Really good. You feel really good about yourself.
Today's celebrity birthdays, I am shocked that Macaulay Culkin, who's been famous since I was a little kid, the star of the Home Alone movies, is only 29 years old today. Like, how is it possible that that dude is only 29?
Yeah.
That's true. He started in Home Alone in 1924.
I guess that's what it is. His most famous work is when he was like 7. So I guess that's how he's only 29. Actor Chris Burke, he, of course, was the great Corky, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
From Life Goes On. Celebrating his birthday today, he is 44. Captain Kirk from the Star Trek movie. Chris Pine turns 29 today. Our friend Adrian Young from No Doubt is 40 today. And do you remember an actress/playmate named Ola Ray? Does that name sound familiar to you?
No.
Ola Ray. She's the hot chick in the Michael Jackson Thriller video. And she, remember the girl he's dancing with? And she's one of the people who was involved in trying to sue Michael Jackson just last year, claiming she's still owed royalties from that video. Lana Ray is 49 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
Brand new Weezer on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And remember, every day at 5 o'clock, we have a chance for you to instantly win a trip to Outside Lands, which is a music festival up near San Francisco on Southwest Airlines. Pearl Jam, Incubus, Silver Sun Pickups, and Modest Mouse, and more. 5 this afternoon on the world famous K-Rock. Right now, it is 6:09.
Were there hand claps, copious amounts of hand claps in that Weezer song, by the way?
Yes.
Because we were trying to stamp those out a few years ago. Have we backed off? Are hand claps okay on the show now?
Well, it depends if they're just hand claps or the dreaded hand clap of gayness.
Let's talk to our old friend Ralph Garman, who's on the phone from his home right now, probably painting a swastika on his forehead is my guess right now, because he's heading off to jury duty and not too happy about it. Hey, Ralph.
Guilty. That dude looks guilty.
It just looks that way, and you can tell.
Yeah, I'm trying that.
Yeah.
So, how's it work? What's your day shaping up to be like? What do you know about what's awaiting you when you get to the courthouse?
This is my first time. I've never done this before.
Oh.
So I have to just show up and check in and then sit.
Yep.
And sit and sit, and then maybe they'll call me, but most likely I will sit and then break for lunch and sit. And sit, and then go home in the afternoon.
But correct me if I'm wrong. If you're there all day and they don't call you, you're done.
Yeah, that's it. I've fulfilled my civic duty.
Right.
Except for the fact that you are now in the system. They know that you are a living, breathing human being, so they'll feel free to contact you again as soon as the year is up, right?
Yeah, but I just felt like I couldn't stay on the run forever. Kevin.
I'm sorry?
Ignore every notice that came my way, you know, so eventually they catch up to you.
Yeah. They were never able to get me a notice. I don't know why. I really wanted to serve.
I'm going to work that out with them today when I get down.
Oh, thanks, Ralph. That's great.
I'm going to bring up your case specifically and let them know that you're here.
That is great
news.
Hey,
Kevin, what do they let you do and not do in the waiting room? For instance, could Ralph take his laptop down there and entertain himself that way?
Yes, he could.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can take your laptop.
That's a good tip.
I got a stack of comic books I haven't read yet, so those will be going down.
Excellent.
With me.
All right. They're going to look at Ralph. That's the way to get out of it. They're going to go, the dude with the comic books, we can release him.
How cool would it be if I wore my Batman costume?
Oh.
I said, I am here to fight crime.
I like it.
Didn't Tina Fey do that on 30 Rock last season? She wore her Princess Leah outfit to try to get out of jury duty?
Well, yes. There was a woman who actually wore her Starfleet Academy uniform to the Whitewater trial in Arkansas during the Clinton administration.
Wow.
And she said she took that as seriously as someone who served in another armed service, so she had to wear it.
That's awesome.
Now, Ralph, let me ask you this. I know you haven't been looking forward to jury duty.
No.
But since you're going to be there, why not use your intellect to render a good verdict? Why not be a part of the solution and make the jury system better by participating today? Why not be on a jury?
Because I got no time for this crap.
Yeah. Bean, you know who you're talking to?
Well, yeah, but I mean, okay. do we not all agree that the jury system is a good idea?
Yes.
I think it's flawed, but it's the best idea that we've come across yet.
But isn't it only the best idea we've come across yet if people participate, if good people are willing to give their time to be on a jury to make a fair judgment?
All of a sudden, Bean is the man.
Well, I'm not the man. It's
Big
just that
brother.
I just feel like it's a good idea, and the better we can make juries, the better those verdicts are going to be.
Well, Ralph already has his decision made. So, you know, just add water.
I've been a drunken pervert the majority of my life. Who am I to judge other people?
Right.
That's the way I look at it. In fact, when the judge comes out, I'm going to stand up and scream, "Judge not, lest ye be judged."
So I think what Ralph is looking for is some advice on ways that he can, without being subject to contempt of court by being too over the line, what are the keys that they're going to be looking for to automatically dismiss somebody? Somebody that they're not, they can't think he's crazy, but they don't want him on the jury, right? That's what we're looking for, Ralph.
Yeah, I would like to get out gracefully and have him just say, you know what, we don't need you today. You can go home.
In a perfect world, they would also make a note they don't need you next year.
Exactly.
You know, like if you came up with something good enough, they go, oh, let's just leave this guy out of the system.
Well, I'll tell you, I was listening to the Showbiz Beat this morning. Maybe I should just play that for them.
Oh, how dare you.
And say, you know, guys, look, they really need me.
We brought
the radio station.
We were on it.
Hey, I think that is. I mean, am I wrong about this? Isn't that one of the things that does get you out of jury duty if you have the kind of job where they you can't be replaced or it's essential that you're working?
I think it used to be.
Yeah, but there's not much anymore.
As far as I can tell from the information here, it's just the financial hardship now is the only sort of work-related excuse they will give you.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Can you hang out for another break, Mr. Garman?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So how did you get out of jury duty once you were down there?
Okay.
Because Ralph has to go today. So if you can give him some tips that'll help him get out, he will very much appreciate it. All right. Ralph, you hold. We'll come right back with those calls. Thanks.
Our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show is on the phone from his home somewhere outside Los Angeles. His name is Ralph Garman, very talented actor and comedian. He's trying to get out of jury duty today, and you're wearing the Free Mumia t-shirt I gave you for Christmas, right, Ralph? You got that?
He's there.
Oh, wait.
We just have to
there
push
we go.
A button.
I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
thanks, Kevin.
I'm wearing that. And all I think if I get on a panel, I'm just going to wet myself.
Yes.
I think that,
okay.
That might help me get out early.
I like it.
So Ralph has to report in an hour and a quarter down to the courthouse in Los Angeles. He wants to get out of it. What can he say that's not too obvious so he doesn't get in trouble with the court, but will still get him, let's say, not seated on a jury? Why don't we start with let's start with Jennifer. She's on line one. She has an unusual approach. Hey, Jen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in. What works?
Hey, everybody. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What'd you do?
Ralph, all you have to do is tell the person, whoever is on the stand, just say you were stabbed by somebody like them.
Stabbed by someone like them?
Yeah, like for me, what happened was there was a guy on trial for robbery, and he was supposedly a gang member, which was bull because he was a total gangbanger.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, I was stabbed by a gang member.
Oh, I see. Oh.
So if you have a personal case that's similar to the one that they're looking for jurors for, they won't want you to be biased in either way.
They won't want you to say anybody, even if it's like a homemaker who, you know, what you stole, just say, yeah, I was stabbed by a homemaker.
But yeah, that's a great homemaker stabber.
I was stabbed by a homemaker.
That's the best. All right, Jennifer, what do you think, Ralph? Can you pull that off?
Sure. Hey, you look familiar. Did you ever stab me?
Yeah. I like that. That's a good tip.
Let's try Dawn on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dawn, thanks for calling in. What do you recommend for Ralph?
The way I got out of it three times is just to feign prejudice. Even if you're not prejudiced.
To say you're prejudiced against everyone?
Everyone, but who you are.
But don't they kind of see that one coming now?
I think so.
No.
It seems too obvious.
Because they can't take it as what? Because what if you're telling the truth?
Oh, so they can't take the risk.
Right.
But
the,
I mean,
defense attorneys will say that you're off automatically because they can't take the chance.
I sure hope the defendant's white. Something like that.
It works. Yeah. Good luck.
All right. Good luck.
All right.
Try that one. Are you writing these down, Ralph?
Don't like darky. Got it.
Try not to use the word prejudice, though, like the caller did.
I have enormous prejudices.
Yeah.
Let's try Mike on line seven. Here's another approach that I bet has been tried before, but who knows? Maybe it works. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, Ralph. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
The thing you say, you know, they're going to sit you down, the attorneys are going to call you. And then when they call you, they're going to ask, you know, tell us about your past. And, I got an 8 tickets, so I told them, you know, the cops were wrong. And in general, I think people are untrustworthy. By the time I finished that, the attorneys already told me we're dismissing him, and I was already on my way home.
Because they think that your experiences and your worldview and your view of cops and everybody else is tainted.
Right.
Yeah.
And
all right.
By the time I finished, I was already on my way home trying to catch the last show with the beat.
Wow.
I was out by 9 o'clock.
There you go.
Mike, if you've gotten 8 tickets, by the way, it's you. It's not the police, just
right,
so you know.
But that's not the point.
Yes, you are correct.
And, yeah, that is it. But that's not the point. Getting out of the ticket, you know, jury is the point.
Yeah,
all right. All right.
I want it out so bad.
I hear you. All right.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to David on line 8. Another good idea, I think. Hi, David. You're on with Ralph Garman. How can you get out of jury duty?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Swine flu. Tell them you just got diagnosed with the swine flu and that you are completely sick, but you had to come into jury duty.
Yeah, contagious. I didn't feel well, but I came anyway because I want to do my civil duty.
Exactly. And they're going to be like, you're crazy for even coming in. Well, it's jury duty. I have to come in, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I gotta,
but then
I gotta
won't they ask for
a doctor's note if you've been diagnosed?
Won't they ask for a doctor?
Well,
no, not necessarily, because I mean, if you're going to jury duty, you're not thinking straight. You're not going to. You're not. You're.
He's out of his head with fever,
especially with the swine flu. He's thinking like a pig.
Have time to get a no. They're not going to ask you for a no. Dude.
I bet they are.
No, I don't think so. Especially if it just happened yesterday. Like, oh, I just went to the doctor yesterday. Blah blah blah.
I like it.
No way.
I like it. Swine flu, Ralph.
H1N1.
By the way, speaking of the swine flu, because those are the magic words these days, I almost feel like Ralph could call before he heads down there and say, listen, I just got diagnosed with the swine flu. I want to make sure you really want me to come down there today. I wonder if that would work.
But then they might postpone me, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they'd want you in a month. Exactly. All right. Let's close with a police officer. We've got Ken on line three. Here's a guy who should know. He spent some time in courtrooms. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
Ken.
So here's what I'm thinking. It can do one of two things. Either go in there and just start insisting on the death penalty right away, even if it's some little old lady who was jaywalking. Death penalty for everybody.
Death penalty! I say death penalty!
I like.
Start insisting on that, or tell them that here's what my dad does. Every time he goes in for jury duty, he tells him his son's a cop, and they almost every time they let him out. I don't think he served jury duty in years.
Really? So if a family member's a cop, they'd excuse you from that?
Yeah, my dad does taxes, so he tells him that he enforces tax regulations. My mom's a hospital administrator, so she enforces hospital regulations.
I like it.
And
your
son's a cop, so
wow,
he gets off every time.
I like that.
All right, so my son's a cop,
right?
And my other son's a tax attorney. And my mom and dad's are rapists.
I think. Yeah, I think
that should do it.
Yeah.
That should get you out. All right, let's talk about the rundown.
Okay.
The Rundown on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a website, rundown.com, and they have a lot of lists of helpful tips. And there was one that caught our eye specifically, so we decided to talk to Chris Kay. Is that your name?
That's me.
Chris Kay from Rundown. You're the editorial director. And tell us about Indecent Proposal.
Okay. Indecent Proposal was, our idea was to talk about the best places to have public sex in L.A.
Oh, okay. And that sounds legal.
Yeah, it's legal, technically.
If you don't get caught.
Sure.
Well, I mean, if you don't get caught, it's totally legal.
Basically, these tips are ways to not get caught.
Well, that's helpful, because I've been caught a few times.
Yes, you have.
Where have you been caught?
In a car at a park. In the parking lot with a cop that came up with the light, you know, in the window, and they really love to embarrass you.
They leave the light right on you?
Yeah, leave the light right on you the whole time.
Yeah. Is that a mistake, Chris?
I think that's a mistake. You generally don't want to attract any police attention, you know?
Right.
The idea that we were going for was ease of execution with these picks. You don't want too many barriers to entry. You know, it's enough that you've convinced your partner to...
Wait, are we talking about the girl here?
No,
are we talking...
Place.
Oh, the place. Okay.
It needs to be comfortable, too, I think.
Yeah. Well, comfort is, you know, it's subjective.
Yeah.
You know, we picked places that... One of the things, as we were researching it, we decided that early on that bathrooms and, like, you know, abandoned stairways, elevators were kind of not iconic L.A. experiences. So we wanted places that really... gave you a view, or you got, you know, some added bonus to it.
You need a view?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you're not sightseeing. I mean, is it the goal to get laid? I mean, really, I don't care what kind of a view is outside the car windows if what's going on is inside the car windows.
Well, it adds to the whole experience. I mean, you want the vibe.
Sure.
Okay.
What do they charge you with, by the way, Lisa, when you get, I mean, it's not really indecent exposure if nobody can see you except for the cop who goes out of his way to come up and tap on your window. I mean, literally, it's not like you're doing it in front of a playground.
I don't know, because I never got charged. They just said, you know, get out of here.
Just move along, right?
I bet it could be indecent exposure.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's good that they didn't ticket you.
Yeah.
What are the types of places?
Well, one of the places that we chose was El Matador State Beach. It's one of the most beautiful beaches probably on the West Coast. It's very secluded up in Malibu. It's a great one, and if you go out in the water, you can pretty much, you know, do it standing up out there.
Wait, okay. You're sending me into the water?
Into the ocean.
Into the water. It's kind of like a Chris Isaac Wicked Game type of a vibe. But
a lot of coastline I could cover with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How close is that location to the most recent shark sighting?
I don't know.
I don't know if it attracts sharks, but yeah. You know, you probably don't want to do it during dolphin migration.
But doesn't the ocean have salt in it? I mean, I'm not a biologist, but it seems like that would be bad.
And it's a little cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you do it now during August, it's a little warm. I fact-checked that one myself.
Okay.
So it's doable.
All right. Okay.
Well, here's how dedicated Chris is to the rundown, by the way, is he's willing to go out and try these places out before he recommends them to his readers. Congratulations on that.
We try everything out before we recommend them to our readers.
Now, the beach, it's funny you mentioned the beach in the famous Chris Isaak video with him and the model. I mean, that always looks so romantic in the movies, but I would imagine the sand is not comfortable. I would imagine that sand gets in places, and you've really got to be super careful if that's the route you're going.
You don't want to do it on the actual beach. Yeah, that's why we recommended the water.
Sand is not your friend.
No.
Which seems like the caves seem like a good idea at El Matador, but you know when the tide comes in, it gets a little get a little sea world there. So you definitely don't want to be doing it on the beach.
All right,
stick to the water.
Okay,
all right. You
Life
also mentioned
possible too.
Sure,
nothing sexier. You also mentioned parks and trails and places like that may be good too.
Yeah, parks are good. Parks are good, especially on hikes, because, you know, they tend to be secluded. The only thing you're really going to run into usually are, you know, coyotes.
Right. Bringing over illegals. What?
Yeah.
I think it means the animals.
Oh, was one.
The animals. Yeah, I can see that. Maybe running trails or something like that.
Yeah.
I imagine
just,
it would.
You know, again, you don't want to be lying down in the trail.
Yeah,
you know, lying down. We were conscious of positions that you would choose in these kind of places.
Right. Okay.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris, before you move on to the next location. Sure. In the discussion that you guys had in the office putting this list together, did you find that there are a lot of people who want to do it outdoors because it does add some sort of extra thrill to it? Because part of what's fun about it is the possibility that you might get caught? Or are people really thinking they just like the feel of the fresh air on their bodies? Or what's going on here?
Well, we did talk about that. I mean, we talked about, is this a piece about exhibitionism? Or is this a piece about places to be outside and doing? And we decided the latter, really, because if it's just about exhibitionism, you know, you can go to, like, any hotel on the Strip and you'll see someone doing it, like, you know, in a pool or on a balcony. And that didn't really seem too distinctive for us. We really wanted those kind of iconic L.A. places.
Well, it sounds like
outdoors.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're
secluded.
People who don't want to get caught. If you're an exhibitionist, you do want to get caught.
Right.
Or at least seen, right?
Yeah.
Seen, yeah. Anything up by the Hollywood sign? Maybe the most famous iconic landmark in town.
Well, there's certain spots on Mulholland Drive where you have a view of the Hollywood sign that we said were ideal. There's a few pull offs there where you can be in a car, have kind of that experience where you're get the kind of 50s heavy petting thing going on the lookout point. But behind the Hollywood sign itself, it's pretty traffic there, and horses come by, people riding horses. You generally don't want that kind of thing.
All right.
Okay.
Kind of a mood killer.
And the pull-off, that's not a sex move, right?
Pull-off, no.
No, the pull-off. So. That is not. No.
Not sanctioned by us, no.
Tell us about the one in the air. This looks interesting because I would have never thought of this.
Yeah, that one is a balloon ride that you can take that they'll send you up a mile in the sky. And, you know, you're free to do whatever you want up there.
It's just the two of you?
Brave enough to try it.
There's no one else in there but the two of you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You can call them for more info, but they'll send you up and, bring you back down, I guess, at a certain time.
Okay.
Lisa, would you be able to relax enough in a situation like that if you're up in the air like that? I mean, it seems like there'd be some concern of safety.
In a balloon, I don't think I would feel... I think I'd feel safe.
You're pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be, actually, of all the places you've mentioned, that sounds more appealing to me than any of them.
Than the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
Definitely.
All right, so go up in a balloon is your answer on that one. That's good. Well, I like it. Any that we haven't hit?
No, the balloon, that's a good one. One that didn't make the cut was the roof of the Grove parking lot.
The roof of the Grove parking lot.
And is that because too many people can see you?
No, because precisely the opposite. You get the view, you have the car, you don't have to you don't have to be too exposed.
So why didn't it make it?
We just didn't have the space.
Oh, okay.
We try and make our site readable in about 60 seconds. So.
Gotcha.
some of them had to get cut, unfortunately.
You know what you should try, Chris? And this is just a suggestion. I'm not the expert. You are. But I agree with Bean. If there's enough interesting stuff going on in the car, why do you need a view all the time? You're like, view. Got to have a view. You need to up your game, Chris.
I guess it depends, it depends on your partner. Maybe you'd rather have a view.
Okay, right.
So maybe if you're dating a fatty, maybe that's what it's important that you get the view outside the window. Exactly. Honey, I'd love to have sex with you, but can we drive to Mount Rushmore first so I have something to look at?
The Lincoln really turns me on.
Exactly. This is just one of the many fine articles on rundown.com. You ought to check it out. We've been talking to Chris Kay. He is the editorial director over there. Great to have you on, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
Dad. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very talented actor Emil Hirsch joins us in the 7 o'clock hour, of course, from Milk, from Speed Racer, Into the Wild, Lords of Dogtown. Guy's been in a ton of stuff. This Taking Woodstock looks fantastic, by the way.
I think so too.
Ang Lee opens up today, so we'll be talking to Emil. Lisa's going to try to get her hooks into him. She's certainly looking for a new husband. Maybe Emil's the way to go. Anyway, that'll be coming up. First, though, as you know by now, Ralph has the jury duty, so he will not be joining us today. But if he can get them to dismiss him, he'll be back tomorrow doing the Showbiz Beat the way it's supposed to be done. In the meantime, we're going to try to fill in the best that we can. I guess we should start with Chris Brown. I mean, that is the biggest news. Yesterday, they did finally sentence him to 5 years probation, 6 months community labor. He's going to be doing stuff like taking graffiti off walls, picking up trash along the side of the highway. We don't get a chance to drive by and mock him, though, because he's going to be doing it in Virginia. That's where he's been able to get it moved. I know you were looking forward
to it.
The
best.
He also has to stay away from Rihanna for the next 5 years.
Wow.
I've been there, Chris. I know what it's like. I know about those restraining orders.
You've been there many times.
He is also not allowed to contact her via phone or another person. Doesn't say, by the way, can't email her. I'm just saying. He has to stay 100 yards away from her unless it's at an industry event where the distance is just 10 yards. And he has a 52-week domestic violence program, plus has to pay about $5,000 in fees or so. But, that's a lot, yet no jail time. Yeah. And,
could have been a lot worse.
And the important thing here is hopefully he learned his lesson and will never do it again.
Speaking of restraining orders, Britney Spears' relationship with her agent, Jason Trawick, may not be as hot and heavy as it looked at the first point. Remember when Ralph said, she's now dating her manager.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was saying they were going to get married. They were so tight.
One, quote, very close insider told the news that she is still madly in love with Adnan Galib.
That's bad news.
Even though her father slapped a restraining order on him, banning any contact with her, the situation is not okay with her. She's very depressed about it, and she wants him back.
Britney Spears, what about her?
And they go on to say she needs a new cell phone as well. So, maybe they will kill two birds with one stone.
We've got Quentin Tarantino coming in on the show later this week. He, of course, is the writer-director of America's number one film called Inglourious Basterds. He is he's not able to enjoy his success right now, though. You'd think he'd be on the top of the world right now with the huge box office and critical acclaim that movie is having. But he says he's got bigger issues to worry about. What's going to happen to American Idol now that Paula Abdul is off the show? He is apparently devastated. So some of the quotes that Quentin Tarantino gave to AbsoluteNow.com include, "It's an end of an era." He thinks it's not right. He's sad and he's upset because he's such a diehard fan of the reality competition. What is he going to do without Paula?
Is he joking?
No, he loves that show. In fact, at least twice that I can think of, he has been a guest judge on the show where he's mentored the people under the guise of he's a guy who's a huge music fan. And of course, he's so famous for the music that he puts in his films. They had him on basically to give the kids advice. He's obsessed with that program. Lots of times you see him in the audience. He's there live watching the program.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Wow. That is weird. when they say that you marry a person, you actually marry their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
That turns out to be true. Amy Winehouse is finding that out the hard way. Blake Fielder Civil, it was her husband.
Right.
What, husband or boyfriend?
Husband.
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 Spent a lot of time in jail, got out of jail, saw Amy Winehouse and went, no, thank you. She's looking much worse than she was before.
Yeah.
Apparently, Blake Fielder Civil's mom, Georgette, found some love letters that Amy wrote to her son and sold them. Auctioned them off.
They've got to be great. They must be like poetry, those love letters.
Her private note was pawned off to the highest bidder, and now Amy is suing her ex-mother-in-law for copyright infringement and wants $81,000 in restitution.
That is so crappy.
How crappy is that? Oh. She found a love letter from Amy Winehouse and auctioned it off.
Wow.
It happens so often when somebody in the family gets famous, all of a sudden all the family members or people, friends, people who were, you know, anywhere in their universe look for a way to cash in on it. But
don't you just expect in-laws? I mean, they're older. You just expect them to have some dignity. And
even if they hate you and they're sad that their son is with you, most of the time they do have a little dignity and they don't do this. Mm. But she is Amy Winehouse.
How crappy are those love letters, though, seriously?
Yeah, I'd love to see them.
Alone.
I would love to see them.
If you've heard her talk, you know that she doesn't have much going on.
The paper has a lot of stains on it and we don't know what they are yet.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm very disappointed in C-Murder, the rapper. Yeah. Very disappointed. First of all, how could you ever expect that a guy who goes by the moniker C-Murder would run afoul of the law?
Right.
You wouldn't expect him to get in trouble. He had already been sentenced to life in prison earlier this month on a second-degree murder conviction for killing a 16-year-old during a brawl in a New Orleans nightclub. Well, even though he had already been convicted of life in prison, he had another outstanding charge, this time for firing a gun into a different nightclub in an argument.
Wow.
So they tacked another 10 years onto his life sentence. Now, that hurts.
No kidding.
You're already in jail for life, and now they add 10 years to that. So, C-Murder, what's going on? Come on.
Not much anymore,
if C-Murder can't walk the straight and narrow, who can?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
TMZ has sources from the L.A. County Coroner and the LAPD. They say they are not buying Dr. Conrad Murray's story that he only gave Michael Jackson a low dosage of the propofol. Apparently, he had Valium, and then he had a shot of Xanax, and then about 3 in the morning, the doctors told the police that Michael insisted.
Well, then.
Well, then, right?
Yeah.
That's what doctors are for.
Of course.
Basically, you let the patient insist, and then you do whatever they say.
That's why you move the doctor into your house.
Correct, yes. But he's telling them that he gave him a much lower dose than usual, because he was a little afraid that after, what did they say, 2 months? Straight every night to sleep, gave him propofol every night for 2 months.
Wow.
And just then was starting to get a little worried about him getting addicted to it.
Okay.
So he gave him a lot less, is what he's saying.
Is he a real doctor? Did he actually go to medical school? Because it seems like there should have been some hints that maybe this was a bad procedure each night.
I don't know. I do not know.
I think he is an actual doctor. He's a doctor for hire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a Beatles world, much to Kevin's chagrin. Their band is more popular than ever before. And everybody is excited about this this September 9th, 2009, right around the corner. All the Beatles albums are going to be remastered, sounding better than ever before. The Beatles rock band is coming out that day. People are just going crazy for it.
They're on the front page of the Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh,
well,
you must hate that.
Funny you should mention that. They are on the cover. And in that Beatles issue, they asked readers to pick their favorite Beatles songs. And I was a little bit surprised to see what came out number one.
None.
But what do you think the most popular Beatles song is, according to readers of Rolling Stone magazine? Psycho Mike, you're a big Beatles fan. What do you think?
Wow.
Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones.
Any Beatles song that's not by the Beatles, right?
Popular to the general audience?
I'd say Yesterday.
Yesterday, not in the top 10.
Okay, good.
All right. I would say...
Hey, Jude.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Hey, Jude is number 4. Yes. I Want to Hold Your Hand is not on the list, and I would have expected to find it, too. Here's your top 5. Number 5, according to readers of Rolling Stone magazine, favorite Beatles songs, Helter Skelter was number 5, which is one of their best and rockinest songs.
Oh, I got to guess. I'm sorry. Revolution.
Not in the top 10.
Damn!
Number 4, Hey, Jude. Okay. Number 3, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Number 2, In My Life. And the most popular Beatles song, according to this survey, A Day in the Life, was their number 1.
Wow.
I don't even know what that is.
In case you're keeping track, 5 songs from John Lennon, 3 by Paul McCartney, 2 from George Harrison, none from Ringo inside the top 10.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Even 40 years later, he's still getting the abuse. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Chris Burke, best known, perhaps only known, as Corky on the popular show Life Goes On, turns 44 today.
What do you think he's doing for his birthday? Let's ask him.
I'm having a party.
Oh! Wait, I thought that was Marley Matlin.
It's also Corky.
My voice is much lower.
Also, Adrian Young from the band No Doubt turns 40 today. Macaulay Culkin, actor who, I don't know, does he just live off the Home Alone money? Does he ever do anything anymore?
When was the last time he was on something? He has done some stuff.
24-hour party people. Right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was probably the last thing he did, right. Anyway, he's 29 years old today. I think I'd much prefer the career of Mr. Chris Pine, who is, of course, Captain Kirk in
in Star Trek. He is also 29 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Psycho Mike, is it true what you're just telling us off the air, that when you were working the Epicenter concert with Alice in Chains and Tool and everybody this past Saturday, that Dewan called you how many times?
14.
All right. he's our favorite lister, favorite Kevin to be lister, Dewan. Why was he calling? Why did he keep calling you over and over again? Was he leaving messages?
Yeah, I would pick up one out of every three times, and I'd say, hey, Dewan, what's up? Can we hang out today, possibly go to beach? And I was like, you know what? I'm working at a concert. I can't. Okay. And then he'd hang up. And 14 minutes later, he'd call back and go, can we hang out today, possibly go to beach?
All right. Well, maybe that's why he's calling right now, because we do have the great Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California.
We did have him.
He hung up already?
We had him, but then he hung up.
He has no time for us.
He really
doesn't.
But he
just called 1 minute ago.
Yeah, I know, and he was on hold. I don't know if you telling the story of him calling Mike.
He hung up as Bean was, Psycho Mike, is this true? And he already hung up. Before Cleo could even put up his information on the call screener.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what's going on. Well, I'm excited to talk to Dewan, A, because I love the dude, but B, apparently I think he has told producer Alex that he went to high school, I think, with Emil Hirsch, who's coming in here in a couple of minutes. So I want to hear all about that, too, because that could be a cheerful reunion here this morning.
Or it could go horribly wrong. Yeah.
Or Dewan is already asleep.
Let's do the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day, then.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I am going to let you guys pick the story. I have four. A bride has demanded a divorce from her husband of just 1 week, is how that story begins.
Oh.
Not going to tell you anymore. The headline of this one, South Carolina man charged with having sex with horse.
Oh, you know I'm going to vote against that. You know that.
The headline from this one from the AP is Nurse of the Year charged with not being a nurse.
Oh, I know that story.
And
that is a great story.
The headline from the AP is, oh, wait, there's a Favre goat in my trunk. So which of those stories?
Sounds like we're being encouraged to pick D, the Favre goat in my trunk.
This comes out of Winona, Minnesota. This woman was on her way to St. Paul, and she pulled over to get at a Tires Plus. She wanted to get the belt replaced on her car, her Chevy Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was doing the paperwork, she happened to mention, oh, if you hear anything from the trunk, it's because I have a goat in there. So just be aware.
She had a live goat in the trunk of her car.
Yeah. So just be aware if you're working on the belt or whatever and you hear some noise, maybe some kicking or something like that, it's the goat in my trunk.
Well, you don't put a goat in your trunk.
Yes, she does. She told him when he asked her for details, what, why, how come? She said that she was taking it to butcher it. It was painted Minnesota Vikings colors, purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the number 4 on it. Brett Favre's number.
Oh.
Okay.
So she was not happy that Brett Favre was traded.
So she's going to
the
kill
Minnesota
the
Vikings. So it's the goat's fault.
Are you kidding?
She painted it Minnesota Vikings colors. She put a number 4 on it, and she was taking it to be put down so that she could eat it.
What a terrible person!
You think?
So she's a crazy Packer fan.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, or a crazy Minnesota Vikings fan that's upset that Brett Favre is coming to their team.
Sure.
The guy at the store that was fixing her car called Animal Control, and they came and took it away.
Good for him.
Oh, good.
Dear God.
They renamed him Brett and placed him in foster care.
I think that's wise. I think that's better.
You know what? You, with the goat in your trunk, not so much with you owning this goat.
Dear
let's take it away from you. First of all, painting it. That can't be good.
No.
That can't be fun for the goat. Right,
right,
exactly.
Second of all, you know, butchering it, of course, it goes without saying. But so anyway, she had it in her trunk. She was on her way to take it to get butchered. And then the dude screwed it up at the Tires Plus. Messed up her whole
plan.
Ruined
her plan. Yep. Yeah. I'm sure that
would
have made a difference.
So that's the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Let's talk about an actor who has done interesting movies and always interesting performances. He joins us in the studio of the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Emil Hirsch, ladies and gentlemen, is here. How about that? Hey, Emil, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
It's Woodstock all over again today. Congratulations on the new film finally hitting theaters.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is a weird story that I knew very little about. I'm not a huge fan of the 60s rock. But and I didn't know really much of the story. Is it based on a true story?
Yeah, it's based on this guy Elliot Tiber's kind of true story about how he accidentally brought Woodstock to his little town. You know, Woodstock had been kicked out from the actual Woodstock, you know, by the locals who
didn't want it.
They didn't want those
the
crazy
local
hippies.
Dope smoking hippies raping their cattle at night. And
did that happen? The raping of the cattle?
No, because they kicked them out.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, they were worried about it.
Okay, all right. And these were the days before these big shows where there are multiple bands on stages and everything. There wasn't a lot of this going on in 1960. What was it? Eight?
Nine. Yeah,
69.
Yeah, this was kind of the granddaddy. I mean, this is the concert that all the ones that came after owe a debt to and are compared to. And many people believe that even, you know, in the era of all the huge shows that have happened since, that Woodstock in many respects is still the biggest and the best of all of them.
And I don't know. I was thinking about, like, why it's so famous. Because, like you said, there have been a lot of concerts. And I think that, like, something about Woodstock kind of maybe, like, represented the like utopia of what like the 60s kind of countercultural revolution could be. You know, it was like the idealism reached its height right there, and then it kind of went down after that with like Altamont and stuff.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
So tell us about this family and how they inadvertently brought Woodstock, because that seems funny.
he just sees it. He Dimitri's character Elliot, he just sees it in the paper, and he has a permit to show to have like his annual arts and music festival, which is like literally imagine like a ragtag group of like 20 people throwing a little arts festival.
Right,
that's what he does. But he has an official city permit, so he has like this legal loophole in, and so he's like, okay, my festival's going to be just a little bit bigger.
Did he know? I mean, did he have any idea what it was?
The movie presents it like he had absolutely no clue, but I mean, I'm sure in real life maybe he had
a little more of a clue.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
But he had to, I mean, he had, I can't wait to see this movie because I love the stories behind what we think we know about a historical event. I think those are some of my favorite movies where you realize how much happenstance is involved in history being made. And, you know, how choices really do end up affecting, you know, in this case, hundreds of thousands of people. But he had to know if he had Jimi Hendrix and, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival and the Grateful Dead and all those. I mean, he had to know that was going to draw a huge crowd.
Yeah, but, I mean, you guys can tell me this. I don't know. Had there ever been a bigger concert ever before that?
Yeah, I don't know that either.
Bean would know.
Bean?
I don't think so, right?
This was the biggest. Yeah. This was the biggest. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So what made it the biggest, though?
So many people
hippies.
Showed up.
So a lot
yeah,
of hippies.
I know.
So many people.
Now, let me ask you this, Emil, as an actor, and you've played period pieces before, but was it fun or irritating, or how did you look at going back to 1969? Was that an era that you were comfortable in, or did it just seem crazy to you?
I mean, I kind of loved it, you know, partially because I just didn't have to, you know, shave. You know, I had like a big beard going on.
Just be a slob. Really?
Well, not...
Yeah, you could.
He showered, Kevin.
Release. I let the beast out. No, it seemed cool. And, you know, my character is a Vietnam veteran. So, you know, the director, Ang Lee, is all about, you know, research. And so he had me hanging out with Vietnam vets and Iraq vets and going to shooting ranges and firing all kinds of crazy automatic weapons. Yeah, he was really insistent on that.
I heard it in another interview where saying he was insistent on even the much smaller details, the stuff you have in your pockets, the little stuff that never even play a role
in the movie. Me and Ang actually had a really intense conversation about the knife that I would have in the back of my boot.
Okay.
That we never saw.
Did we ever see the knife?
No, you never see the knife.
Well, then why are you wasting your time talking about
it? Because he
knows. Yeah, I don't know. It was like a thing where we thought that it would, you know, if someone who carries a knife, you know, just knowing that you have the weapon on you, kind of you carry yourself a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting. That's kind of like the genius of Ang, you know, he's like, he'll, like, do little things like that, or you'll work out things like that, and they end up kind of helping you a little bit.
Do people now,
like I had to stab this guy after the take, and I was like, hey, I already got a knife on me.
Tell me about Oscar-winning actor or director Ang Lee. Of course, he did Brokeback Mountain and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He's done a lot of movies. He can make any movie that he wants. Let's face it. He's an A-list director, and every actor wants to work with him. Why did he want to do Taking Woodstock?
What he was kind of saying a little bit before was how he'd made all these depressing dramas back to back. Lust, Caution, Brokeback Mountain, all these different movies, and he just wanted to just kind of lighten up a little bit and
do something fun.
Yeah, do something that was just kind of unabashedly happy.
I can see
well,
that.
I don't blame him.
How did you get involved? Did you hear that it was happening? Did you hear Ang Lee was the director? Did they contact you? What was the...
Well, I heard that Ang Lee was making this movie, so I just hoped that there was a role in it for me. And then later on, they contacted me, and they said that Ang might be interested, and I got really excited. Just because I have loved so many of his movies, and they're all so different.
Yeah, that's
Crouching
yeah,
Tiger, Hidden Dragon is such a masterpiece.
It
is
one of the best movies ever.
Movie.
I was just so surprised to see Ang Lee because he would have grown up in Asia, right?
Yeah, where he was like a little kid in like China or Korea.
Yeah, right. And what does Woodstock mean to you if you're growing up in China? I mean, it has to be just some. You know, thing you may have heard the name, but you wouldn't really know much about it.
You know what's really funny is that Ang told me that when he was a teenager growing up, they had like these van, almost like censorship patrols, to where they would like drive around, and if they saw kids with long hair or with pants that were too low, they would literally like abduct you in this van and shave your head and then cut the bottoms of your pants. Except he said when they cut the bottoms of your pants, it would be like 4 inches too high.
Excellent.
So you would be marked that you got cut.
Wow. And did he have to wear those? Or you could.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Them?
And they said he only had like one or two pairs of pants. So you were.
So he has no idea what Woodstock was about. Really?
Yeah, but I think that was probably what drew him to it. You know, he probably fantasized about Woodstock growing up.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you put it that way, that's very interesting, Emil, because when you think about it, I mean, it would represent all of the freedom that he wouldn't have been able to enjoy in China. Because this would, I mean, that's really what.
In a van and having
no kidding. Now, was there a lot of live music at the film shoot, and was there a lot of pot?
There was definitely a lot of pot and a lot of music, I would say. You know, I mean, we had, like, thousands of extras. So, you know, people were like, you know, at that point, they're like, party, you know. And, yeah, people were playing music. It was a cool environment.
Did you have any participation from the actual bands that were at Woodstock? Did they recreate any of their stuff or contribute in any way to the movie?
I don't really know about that too much because most of the part of the film that I work on is more of a, on the periphery with Dimitri's character.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a lot of the Woodstock music in the film. But it's kind of cool the way they weaved the music in the film. It's pretty seamless. It doesn't try to pronounce itself too much, but
it's more background.
Yeah, well, no, it's not even background. It's just really subtle. Like all of a sudden, you'll be like, "Oh, wow, this is a song right now." You know.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. Oh, was there any video that was taken of Woodstock that they cut together, or news pieces, or anything? Did they use anything real?
Well, the Woodstock documentary. Well, Ang gave a bunch of these like Super 8 cameras to all these young like NYU. Kind of college kids who were extras, mm-hmm. and they shot all this footage, and he looked at the footage, and it was like identical to the documentary. So
no
he just
kidding.
Used his
we just used that
yeah the own footage
That's
but it was like
idea.
Identical
wow that is a great idea.
Fascinating.
Who would have thought
all right,
of that?
We have to take a break. Emil Hirsch is here taking Woodstock. Now it's open today, right? It's a Wednesday opening, is that right, Emil? In Los Angeles, in New York?
I'm not really sure.
I know at the ArcLight Hollywood, you can go at 11 this morning. I just
yeah.
Took
so
a
I,
look.
I think it opens in Los Angeles and New York today, and then Friday it opens everywhere.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with more with Emil Hirsch right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, I have to say that Lisa May is behaving herself. You can't even see the butterflies at her stomach. You can't even tell. She's actually so moist right now.
Before you came in, I was saying that Into the Wild is. On my top 10 movie list. I just think it's tragic, but it's just a beautiful movie, and I just thought you were amazing in it. So I was really excited to have you come in.
She can't believe you're still alive after the end of that movie.
Well, it didn't go well. That's what you mean.
Lisa's new boyfriend is the actor Emil Hirsch, and he's in here today talking about taking Woodstock. You know, it's so funny. One of the legacies of Woodstock, and we were talking about it a few minutes ago, is how peaceful it was. At the time that Woodstock happened with the 500,000 concert goers there. It was the third largest city in the state of New York over that weekend. Yet, as far as I understand, tell me if this is legend or true, Emil, if you know from your research, there was not a single act of violence that weekend with 500,000 people crammed into an area that had not enough food to eat, not enough porta-potties, raining, muddy, no place to sleep, yet everybody was so chill. Is that how you learned the story as well?
Yeah. I think that there was only like 3 deaths, and I think someone was in a sleeping bag and got ran over by a tractor, and then someone had...
That's not how you want to go, by the way.
A drug overdose. Yeah, there was no...
But nobody killed anybody.
No.
Yeah.
No violence.
They're
all high.
That's really unbelievable.
It speaks to marijuana.
Doesn't it?
You know? If everyone's
but it is
high,
it is interesting when you see how furious concert goers get now if they have to wait 15 minutes in a beer line. And yeah. Here we're talking about, I mean, they ran out of water like on the first day. I mean, they had nothing, these people. Yet they were just hanging out in their blankets, just grooving, you know?
Yeah. And the music was all so mellow, too. I mean, it wasn't like death rock, was it?
I don't think
so. No.
Not at all.
Well, Joe Cocker maybe, but otherwise, no, not so much. What were some of the your favorite things that happened to you while making this movie on the set? Things that happened while you were at work that you'll probably always remember when you look back on your acting days.
Well, one of them was there's a scene where my character's kind of watching this like community theater play that kind of goes awry, and everyone gets naked on stage and. My character like starts hysterically laughing and runs on stage and gets naked. And this is in a crowd of like 350 people of like women, children, like everybody,
oh,
like family theater.
Wow.
And I had to get naked and I pranced to the stage. And then when I got to the stage, I got naked and then I started dancing.
What kind of dancing? Man. Was it bad white dancing?
It was like me and Dan Fogler like locked arms with each other and started skipping around. And, like it was pretty funny. But the weird part about it was that I would like look into the crowd and I'd see like there was one guy had a video camera out.
Oh, good. Is it on YouTube already?
No. But then another guy would have a little iPhone out and just kind of shady looking hippie, you know. He's like, he looked everything 60s minus his, like, 2009 iPhone.
Sure. Yeah.
Other than that. Now, is it a particularly scary thing? Did you try to work out? Were you freaked out about getting naked, or did you care?
I actually didn't really care. Although it was a little bit awkward because there was, like, this kind of group of really cute kind of girls who were kind of, like, winking over, and I was kind of shy, and I looked down, and then, like, 5 minutes later, I'm getting naked in front of all of them, like some, you know, peeping Tom, like, eh. And then it just wasn't the same after that.
I thought he was nice, but he came up and took off his pants.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
Those have to be the kind of moments as an actor where you go, how is this my job? How am I making a living?
How can I justify this to my grandparents?
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, Emil, we've never had the opportunity to ask you this, but what path did you take to get into acting? Were you, bitten by the bug super early and did all the school plays and all that, or did you happen into it later on?
You know, I ended up getting into it because I went to this summer camp over in Topanga Canyon when I was like 8 or 9, but the whole camp, you just put on, you know, a play, and it was totally in the wilderness, and it was a lot of fun. We did Shakespeare, and
that's where everybody from Woodstock moved.
Yeah, by the way, Topanga. It's pretty funny. People go, "What was your research?" And I'm like, kind of think living in Topanga, going to Topanga days for 5 years straight. You know,
it's a strange crowd of people.
Oh yeah.
So you liked doing that, and then when did it? When did the light bulb go off that there may be a career in it for you?
I think when I was like 11, I got a really little part on like a TV show called Kindred the Embrace, which was like this vampire show of like 90210 meets vampires.
Yes.
Sounds good.
And I played this kid who was sick, so they shaved my head in patches. But it kind of was like such an awful haircut that it looked intentional and like kind of cool.
So you ended up being the cool guy in the Vampire 90210?
No, I was the dorky guy in that, but I was the cool guy in like my 5th grade class.
Yeah, it's cool where you show up with that hair, right?
I was
right.
Like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know.
Yeah, I was just shooting a movie over the weekend, that's all. What'd you do this weekend, he says to his 5th grade friends.
Yeah, of course. I was hanging out with Luke Perry with fangs.
So were you able to... has acting been kind of the only job you've ever had? You were able to parlay that into a career after high school, or did you have to do other stuff too?
It's kind of been the only thing I've ever done.
That's
dude.
Cool.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's rare. Lucky. I mean, I'm sure you have lots of actor friends. You know how rare it is to be able to make a living doing this for a living.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm very aware. It's, you know, I mean, it's definitely challenging. The thing about acting is that, you know, you kind of are waiting around for a project to happen a lot of the time. So there's a lot of, like, sitting around waiting time. So that
seems like that would be worrying. Like, it seems like, what if it doesn't come through? What if?
It's not worrying so much as, like, you just want to make sure that you do productive stuff with your time, you know?
Right.
You want to continuously, you know, like, be reading or be working out or
playing,
you know,
video
building.
Games.
Yeah.
I would play video games 16 hours a day and then go to sleep and then get back up and do video games.
Until the phone rang, until you had to go back to work.
Then it'd be a mess because I hadn't slept.
Yeah. You have a great cast in Taking Woodstock, and we ought to mention, first of all, I think we're having Dimitri Martin on the show here pretty soon, but he is not a guy that I would have predicted as the lead in a movie, just knowing him as a comedian. It was just kind of a little bit of a surprise for me to see him cast as this.
I love Dimitri. He is just the most funny, kind of creative guy. We would be hanging out on set, and he makes these amazing cartoons. I don't know if you've ever seen his stand-up.
Yeah, stand-up, and he has a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah, he's a brilliant, comedian.
And he's kind of off. Like, he's a little different than most people, which is great.
Yeah.
Because he has such a unique kind of angle on things. So he would make cartoons when he was with you?
Yeah, and well, we'd kind of trade cartoons back and forth. Like, he would make a cartoon, and then I would make a cartoon. And that was kind of like our running thing we did. We'd always be passing cartoons.
Eugene Levy is in the film. Imelda Staunton is in the movie. I mean, wow, what a great cast. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in the film. It opens up today, if you're lucky enough to be living in Los Angeles and New York, and I guess nationwide it's going to go on Friday. It's called Taking Woodstock. It really does look awesome, Emil. Congratulations on it.
Oh, thanks a lot.
What's next for you? What do you got up? What are you working on now?
I don't know. I'm not really sure right now.
Just back to Topanga Canyon?
I'm going back to Topanga.
Working out, reading.
I'm going to do some video game theater up there.
Oh, okay.
So just lunch with Lisa is the only thing on your plate then, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, it's dinner.
I like his style.
How romantic do you think I am?
Yeah. Right. No. It's dinner and breakfast is what it is.
There you go.
All right, Emil, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Taking Woodstock.
Lisa May, you hook something up with Emil Hirsch for later. You guys okay? I did the best I could to introduce you.
Look, here's the thing with celebrities. They don't like to talk about this stuff.
You got to keep on the down low.
I really can't say.
I'm pretty. You
got to
be discreet.
We're going to have to avoid the paparazzi.
I was in the studio the whole time, and then you weren't out there when he was out there. So when did that conversation take place?
We passed notes.
Oh, all right.
Are you likely to hit that?
Well, you know, a little dinner, a little wine. Who knows what's going to happen?
Okay. All right. Anyway, good times having Emil Hirsch on the Kevin and Bean Show. Piers Morgan from America's Got Talent is coming up. Ralph is on the jury duty today. He is not going to be able to join us, but we gave him some tips earlier on how to get out of it. He's heading on down there with the very much with the intention of explaining to the judge that he can tell someone's guilty just by looking at him. That way he won't be on a jury and he will be back tomorrow.
And he has the swine flu as a backup.
And he's got the swine flu, right? All right, this is, if true, ladies and gentlemen, this is the biggest story of the year, maybe of the decade. It's already starting.
Maybe of the century.
I mean, that's big.
Yes.
This is big. We haven't had much great showbiz news for you today, but ladies and gentlemen, what if I were to tell you that pop sensation Michael Jackson is alive?
Oh.
I mean, alive. There you go. That's better.
Both fit.
More effective.
Both fit. Yeah, Michael Jackson is not dead.
That's what we're telling you. You got to go to KTLA.com, which is the website for Los Angeles television station Channel 5, KTLA.com. They've got a new video that purports to show Michael Jackson alive. And it's weird because it's a video of a van showing up at the L.A. coroner's office. It's an L.A. coroner's van. You can see that on the back of the van. And they have a guy who opens up the back doors and somebody who looks, well, from this distance and at this angle and in this darkness, could be Michael Jackson, I guess.
Yeah, you can't really tell who it is, but there's a huge, like, bodyguard guy that gets out and kind of blocks the view as they walk in this door.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly, according to, and by the way, this is KTLA. This is not one of those websites that just makes stuff up. So they
it
say,
used to be not one of those websites.
They say they're not saying it is him and he is alive. They're saying it might be because this dude just walked out of the coroner's van.
Right. Now, again, there are many, many questions you'd have about this. Like, hey, what about all the autopsies they've done on the real Michael Jackson? What about that? Doesn't that kind of poke holes in your theory that the dude's still alive, the fact that he's, you know, at Forest Lawn getting ready to be buried? I mean,
right.
There's that.
There's that. But he hasn't been buried yet. You know why?
Well,
alive.
Alive, exactly.
That would work.
He, and also, I mean, maybe it's video of Michael Jackson getting out of a van, too. Who knows when it was shot? I mean, there's a million holes you could poke at this
theory. But it's a coroner's van.
It is a coroner's van. But he's crazy, though.
Yeah.
But he's crazy. You got to remember that.
He crazy and he alive.
That's what I'm telling you. You know, there were some people about the time, you know, within the days after Michael Jackson allegedly died, who were saying, oh, it's just him drumming up interest for those shows. It's just him wanting to make the biggest comeback of all time. I would love it so much if we'd all been on this ride for the last 2 months
too.
And he was actually alive. I would love it so much.
Then they have a huge, huge ceremony to honor him, and then he
at
pops.
Staples Center.
Yes.
And then we don't know who's going to pay for it.
Oh, look, there's a viewing. Who knew there's going to be a viewing? And they open it, and he jumps up and does the moonwalk.
People would have a heart attack.
That would be awesome. Do that again, Bean. What?
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Anyway.
You just did a Michael Jackson impression.
KTLA.com if you want to see the video. Tyler Durden has it too. It's certainly open for interpretation. Let's just say that.
By open for interpretation, you mean it's most likely not him because you can't see who it is.
There's a 0% chance that Michael Jackson is alive. But what we're saying, if you want to fantasize that maybe he is, this would be the kind of conspiratorial evidence that you would want.
And what we're saying is, while we don't think he's alive, it would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
It would just be the best.
All right. We don't have much time because Piers Morgan from America's Got Talent is going to be coming up in a second. But I just wanted to run down the Chris Brown deal real quick for folks who did not hear it yesterday. He was in court. He was sentenced to 5 years probation, which I think is – I don't know if everybody was expecting 5 years. There are similar cases have gotten 3, but no one was really expecting jail time. He did work out a deal, so he is not going to spend a day behind bars. But 5 years probation for beating Rihanna, 6 months community labor. He also has to stay away from her for the next 5 years. He is not to contact the singer via phone or via another person.
That always works.
Sure.
Yeah.
He has to say – although I will tell you that in regular cases that don't involve Chris Brown and Rihanna, a lot of times the reason the guy goes after the girl is because, you know, he's not going to get another one.
Yeah,
Chris Brown, let's face it, Chris Brown has had sex with 72 other women since this thing with Rihanna happened.
I know, and that's troubling.
Yeah.
It is. I know.
Always, if you're a famous, someone will always volunteer.
Yeah, but when you see what he did,
I know.
Allegedly.
Yes.
You go, no, I'm not, I'll date someone else.
You
this is right. Famous guys that are ugly, who do terrible things to women, still manage to find a way to get women.
Look, people on death row have girlfriends.
That's true.
He's talented and handsome and famous. I mean, he's going to have no problem.
Yeah. Look at all the white women O.J. Simpson dated after he allegedly killed his ex-wife.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't a deterrent at all. Anyway, 100 yards away from her, unless it's at an industry event when the distance is just 10 yards. In other words, if they're both at the Grammys or something like that, he's got to stay at least 10 yards away. He also has a one-year domestic violence program. He has to pony up $5,000 for restitution and probation charges. If he violates any of the terms, the judge says that Chris could be sent to state prison, and he'll be serving his sentence on all of this in his home state of Virginia. So that's what happened to Chris.
And let me squeeze in one more story. This is Muse. We're all excited about their new CD. Cannot wait. It comes out September 14th. If you go to their website, muse.mu, they have 30-second clips of every song.
Oh.
So you can hear what each song sounds like.
That's very cool.
30 seconds. Muse.mu is the website if you'd like to go hear it before it's released.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, one of the good guys, our friend Adrian Young from No Doubt, hits the big 4-0 today. Speaking of Michael Jackson, the actress playmate who co-starred with him in the Thriller video, Ola Ray was her name. She is 49 years old today. Actor Chris Pine, Captain Kirk from the Star Trek movie, is 29. Macaulay Culkin, also 29. Boy, he's got to still be living off that Home Alone money, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
Three of them, right? Or did he not do the third? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, all right.
And the reason we celebrate today, of course, is the great actor Chris Burke, ladies and gentlemen. Corky!
Corky!
On Life Goes On. He is 44 today. Corky, how are you going to be celebrating your birthday today?
I'm going to have a candle, and I'm going to have a balloon, and my whole family will be in. Happy birthday.
I think it's great. I think it's genius.
That is the showbiz beat.
Because my dreams are bursting at the seams.
Oh, the people love it. That's what I'm telling you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hey, maybe a little less hate mail to Kevin and Bean about the Firefly song, by the way. Maybe Kevin and Bean don't have much to do with it, all right? How about that, for starters? David Alan Greer, 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, very excited to welcome to the program, I think for the first time ever, newspaper man made good. Now he's a television sensation with Britain's Got Talent and, of course, America's Got Talent, the biggest show in this country. We're talking about Piers Morgan, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the phone. Hey, Piers, how are you, man?
Good morning. I'm absolutely thrilled to be on your show. Everyone talks about it all the time on the set, so this is a great honor for me.
Wow.
You are very kind. Well, we've had good and bad experiences with your fellow judges, Sharon Osbourne, who we love to death, just had her on last week. However, David Hasselhoff refuses to ever speak to us again. So we've had mixed reaction from the judges on your program.
Why isn't he talking to you?
Well, he said that he's never touched a drop of alcohol or drugs since college.
And well, that's probably not true.
Yeah, he's very...
I wouldn't worry too much, because he's always banning me from talking to him, and then eventually we make up again.
Okay, so I called him on it, and everybody's mad at me, because they're like, why did you ruin it? And I said, because he expected us to believe he hasn't touched alcohol. We've seen video of him.
Yes.
Just smashed out of his mind.
He was on great form last night, actually.
Was he?
He gave what I think was the greatest critique in the history of Hasselhoff, where we had this percussion group, who were actually very good, but Hasselhoff just suddenly exploded into this outrageous, demented critique, which just showed me why he's so good as a judge. It's like, nobody could be that crazy. It was brilliant.
What did he say about it that made you think he was crazy?
Well, if you watched it, he was smashing his head onto the desk and his fists, making very little sense, but the sheer welter of enthusiasm that was bursting from every pore gave everyone in America no doubt that he loved this act. If you haven't seen it, it's literally a classic.
I haven't seen it. I'll watch it today.
He is your Paula Abdul. I mean, let's face it. These shows, ostensibly, they're about the contestants. They're about the singers, and they're about the dancers and the entertainers, the jugglers, the dog acts, and everything else on your program. But the judges are the glue that holds it together season in, season out. And you got to have a crazy. You got to have a Paula Abdul on AI. You got to have a Hoff on your show. You just can't get around it.
Well, the thing about David is, when we first started, we had a sort of, I think it'd be fair to say, a difference of opinion about each other, because I came from the British newspaper world. He came from the world of show business.
Right,
and
sort of.
Those two are not easy bedfellows.
Right,
so
sure.
He, to put it mildly, used to, as a compliment, call me a tabloid wanker, which you can only get away with in America, because in Britain you'd be drummed off air for saying that. But
right.
He used to love calling me that, and I in turn had my own views about him. But actually, we've become really good friends, because the thing about David is he is one of the most famous, iconic people I think I've ever walked around with. I mean, if you walk around with him, it's like being with Muhammad Ali or the Pope or whatever. Everybody knows the Hoff.
Yeah.
And so whatever your view of him, and whether it's good or bad, you can never get away from the fact that you are with a living legend.
Now, when he performed on your show...
Yes.
Was that last season?
He is this week, by the way.
He is?
Oh, fantastic news.
Tell us the truth, because my review of that would be so bad that I loved it.
Well, look, the thing about David is, as you know, his singing career is sort of quite erratic in the sense that he's absolutely massive in Germany. I mean, he's one of Germany's biggest selling artists of all time. I don't think it's quite translated to America, but look, he loves his music.
Right.
Great fun when he sings.
Right.
I'm just very glad that this week I will have that red buzzer in front of me, because, you know, who knows what may happen in the live environment.
Please, please buzz him within the first 10 seconds before he even starts to sing.
I'll do it for you guys.
Oh, that would be great.
Hey, Piers, the show is called America's Got Talent. Do you think that there is a tremendous amount of undiscovered talent out there that just needs a break? Or are most of these acts, there's a reason that they're not famous or still working out of the garage?
I actually think the first thing you said, because it's interesting, this year in particular, I think because of the Susan Boyle effect from the British show,
right.
America's Got Talent, where... You know, you could not imagine a less likely star than Susan Boyle, and yet she went from complete anonymity to global stardom in the space of about 2 days.
And that's really the only way she could have ever done that.
Yeah, she was 48 years old.
Right.
She'd been singing all her life. She lived in a tiny village in Scotland. I mean, I know that area. It's absolutely tiny. And she would never have got a chance without a show like that. She doesn't fit the bill of the classic star. Right. And similarly, on the American show this year, we've had a guy, and one of the most special moments, in fact, there's been a few, but one guy who I don't think would have come out if it hadn't been for Susan Bourne. I think a lot of acts this year came out because they thought, you know what, if she can do it, I can do it. And the guy called Kevin Skinner, who's a chicken hunter. You know, that was his job. He used to hunt chickens, thousands of chickens a night. Comes on, baseball cap the wrong way around, the farmer jumper on and so on. And he sang a Garth Brooks song, and it literally, I mean, it nearly moved me to tears, and not much does that. And I thought, this is the magic of a show like this, where people can sneer at it, and they can laugh at these people. But in the end, these are ordinary Americans who would never normally get a chance to do this, to live their dream. And suddenly they get propelled onto this stage with millions of people watching.
Right.
And there's a woman last night called Barbara, who, she's a mother, she got cancer, and she survived it, and there she was. You know, she's no spring chicken by her own admission, but she came on looking amazing last night and sang opera in a way that had a lot of the audience really emotional. And I thought, wow, what a moment. What a moment to have a show where you can give a woman like that that kind of chance. And it's not conventional stardom. It's not conventional music path. You know, you guys run a great rock station. It's not the normal way you would get onto a radio station like yours.
Right.
But in its own way, I think it has a magic to it.
Now, can you say the same for tap dancers? Because I've about had it with tap dancers. As far as I'm concerned, tap dancing should be banned after the age of 8. And no matter how good they are, at the end of the day, they're still tap dancing.
Yeah, but you see, if you had your way, there'd be no Fred Astaire, would there? So, you know, I don't really follow the logic of that argument. I mean, tap dancing at its best is an amazing talent. If you're Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire, and it's gone out of fashion. What I like about our show is that it is one of the few places on American television where you can come and tap dance. We had a great act of Five Sisters.
I saw that.
And they were great.
Yes, they were great. But at the end of the day, after they were great, they were great at tap dancing.
So what do you do with that?
You can't get away from that.
Well, that is true. And that, again, you see, that's the beauty of the show, because it's very subjective. You know, what I would enjoy watching may be completely different to a lot of people watching at home. But that's where you get the arguments. That's where you get the spirit of the show.
Sure.
You know, how do you judge, as people say to me, how do you judge a magic act against a singer,
right,
a tap dancer against a fire eater? Well, the answer is you actually just have to go entirely on your gut instinct. Last night, this percussion group, where David went crazy for them, and it is a hilarious thing to watch, but he went crazy because you had a bunch of guys who in the audition were a bit ropey. They came out, they had a kind of stomp-style trash can act where they basically hit trash cans. And we said to them, right, if you're going to come back in a live show and get to the top 40, then come back with some music, some drama, some theatre. Well, they came back last night, and it was like watching a professional Vegas show. And they turned trash cans into an act which I didn't think they could do.
No,
now,
kidding.
That is exciting when you see that happen.
Yeah.
Piers, I watched a lot of last night's show, and I saw how moved you were by that performance from Barbara, and it really was a very touching moment. And there's no other way somebody like that gets seen. She can't get an audition with a record company or something like that. And then right after that, and here's the beauty of your program, you've got a woman come out with her dog, and she clearly is crazy. Please tell me she's not married, nor has she ever had a date, this woman with the crazy woman with the dogs.
I don't know, and I wouldn't be so ungentlemanly as to suggest either of those things. But what I do think is extraordinary, I went to Vegas last week weekend to film a documentary for British television. And while I was there, I went to see Terry Fater, who won America's Got Talent 2 years ago.
Yes.
He now performs at the Mirage Casino.
At the Mirage, right.
In the Terry Fater Theater. He's earning $20 million a year for the next 5 years. He was completely sold out. And I met him in his dressing room, which is this huge dressing room. He's the highest paid star on the Vegas Strip. Now, a year and a half ago, that guy was earning $300 a night.
Right.
An up and down America in his van, effectively glorified busker. Now, there is no other way that you could get to
That's
where he
unbelievable.
Is now than America's Got Talent.
But do you think that any of those hotel or casinos in Las Vegas would hire tap dancers? I'm going to say no.
Do you know what? It, it, actually, yes.
I'm saying no.
I think they could, but only as part of an extended act. Okay. They'd have to have singers with them and so on. So you get a mixture.
All right.
I had heard about this Terry Fader. I didn't watch much of that season, but I heard about him and I thought, he's a ventriloquist.
Yes.
How good can he be? But when you brought him back on this season, I couldn't believe the dude was for real. It looked like special effects. He was so good.
He's incredible because what he does is fairly unique. He throws his voice but does in a singing impression act of various acts through his puppets. Now, the funny thing about him is that Simon Cowell, who created America's Got Talent, he didn't actually sign him up as he does normally with the winners. He memorably said, I can't make any money out of a ventriloquist.
Awesome.
Which is, it's like a guy from Decca Records saying to the Beatles, you know what, bands with three guitars are on the way out, guys.
Right, yeah.
Big mistake.
That's awesome. And by the way, I was at the Mirage a couple of weeks ago as well. That guy's picture is everywhere.
Really?
He owns the Mirage now, pretty
much.
But
also, if you drive down the strip, as I did, you just see his head. And I'm like, how did this happen where I'm a judge on this show? I helped create this guy, and he's now earning 100 times what I'm earning.
Yeah, and you got to stand in line to see his show.
This is wrong,
right.
You know? This is the wrong way around.
Well, Pierce, you do a great job on the program. America's Got Talent, of course, Tuesdays and Wednesdays on NBC, which means the recap episode at 8 tonight and then a brand new episode at 9. We're getting very close to the semifinals. I mean, it's getting down there now on the show, so there's a lot of tremendous acts. It's always it's great when we get the opportunity to talk to someone we've never had on before. Piers, you're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure. It's been very exciting for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, where I believe it is almost time for us to laugh at your misery. That's really what this topic is all about, right?
Oh, my God. This is the best. And, we're going to ask for calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you got rejected when you proposed.
Aww.
If the person you proposed to said no. But if it's still fresh and you're still really upset about it, maybe we're not the show to call. Maybe we're not.
Wait, you're not okay Mr. Sensitive?
I'm all right if they still want to call.
I know you are.
It still hurts.
If you want us to handle things with kid gloves and not make fun of you, this has to be something that you're pretty much over because it's going to be funny to us.
It is funny. And before you hear the story that kind of got us talking about this, we've had, 1-800-520-1067. Your marriage proposal was rejected. You put a lot of time and thought and effort into it, and the bitch still said no. That's what we want to hear about. We've talked about this in the past before, that it's way difficult for a guy to propose. Not only are you talking about getting married, which isn't the easiest decision to reach to, you also are going to have to contend with the way that you do it. It's not enough that you're asking her to be your wife and live with you forever. You also have to make it a spectacular proposal.
Well,
because the first thing that happens when she starts talking to her friends and family is,
right.
A, how did he do it? B, let me see the ring. So you've got a lot of pressure beyond, hey, we're getting married.
But I don't think that's the girl's fault. It's everyone. It's all of her friends and family.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they sized the dude up based on his proposal.
Right.
So you have to have a story to tell. So this dude does. This dude is disabled. He's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
He's in Germany. According to the Daily Mail, he's 67 years old and he does not have transportation.
Aww.
And he's 130 miles from the woman he loves and wants to propose to. So he gets in his wheelchair and he rolls the 130 miles. Takes him 4 days pushing the wheels with his arms. 4 days.
And where was this?
Germany.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
So he goes 130 miles in his wheelchair.
Oh, man.
And he asked this woman, a 66-year-old widow, if she would like to marry him. He wanted to do it in person, of course. And she said no. So he turned around and headed back. 130 miles in his wheelchair.
Don't.
Then he got stuck in a cornfield and had to call the police and had to be rescued.
Oh, that's just sad.
Look, isn't there a bus or something you could take? You shouldn't have to go 130 miles in a wheelchair. Wouldn't that take months?
I don't know. It said he did it in 4 days.
Like, how have they even been dating all this time? How do they see each other?
Don't know. Don't have those details.
So, but here's my question. When people propose, is it really just out of the blue, or isn't there some discussion where you kind of know going in?
Well, I think most of the time
that they're going to say yes.
I think most of the time, because it's such a risk, guys kind of want to get a feeling before they ask. And usually you can. Usually the girl's talking more about marriage than you are, for the most part.
Or you start talking, you don't even talk about that, but you just start talking about, in 5 years I'd like to go here and you talk about that as a couple.
You have a future together.
Yeah.
But when you ask and she looks at you with horror and then runs, That's fun.
My,
that's very
my
funny.
Brother dated a woman for many, many years, and he's, you know, he's single and old, you know, by standards of what age people normally get married at, and he finally got up the nerve to ask her to marry, and she said no.
She made the right decision, first of all.
Yeah,
and second of all, is she the same one that he left in the car during Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, all right. No, different one.
Different one.
But they do still see each other. They just never got married. But she didn't want to get married. But, I mean, it has to just be because, let's face it, Lisa's right. You generally have the idea that she's going to say yes before you propose. You wouldn't really propose unless you thought it was going to happen.
Of course.
So it's got to be devastating when you're rejected.
And
particularly
awesome.
If you've gone to the effort. Not awesome.
Yes.
Particularly if you've gone to the effort to really create some sort of elaborate proposal.
Involves a helicopter and some kind of a, you know, some kind of a marine helicopter that drops you down in the middle of her backyard.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right. Let's take one before the break, and then we want your call of rejected proposals. 1-800-520-1067. Here's exactly what we're talking about, I think, if Jonathan pans out. Jonathan is on line 3 calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. You sympathize with this guy who took his wheelchair 4 days to propose and got rejected, right?
Jonathan?
Jonathan?
He's there. You can hear the...
Yeah, I can hear the...
Jonathan, hello. All right.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, sorry, guys.
Well, she made the right choice.
Yeah.
He can't use a phone. Why would you marry him?
What happened, dude?
I had it all set up, man. I was at the Angel game. I was all ready. I had the balloons. I had friends there.
Did you talk to the Angels about getting on the Jumbotron? Because they
Yeah. I was on the Jumbotron.
You were on the Jumbotron. Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Yep. It came up. I looked at her. She looked at me. She stood up and shook her head and walked away.
Dude.
Yeah.
How long had you guys been dating at that point?
3.5 years.
And so you had a pretty good expectation that she was going to say yes.
Oh, yeah. I was there, but apparently she wasn't.
Wow.
Things were separated.
Well, at least she did it in front of 60,000 people. However many that holds. What did you do? The camera's on you. She's run away.
I looked down and I remember walking out to my wheelchair and wheeling myself home.
What did the audience do, who get pretty invested pretty quick in what's going on in the Diamond Vision? Did they laugh or applaud or boo or what?
Some people booed as she was walking out, like, real close, but a lot of guys were just patting me on the back, and they're like, forget it, man.
Oh, that's
she's
the
not
best.
She's not worth it, man.
You're better off anyway, dude.
She's not worth it. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
What was the when you got home and called her or went over to her, what was the reason she gave for saying no?
She just said things are different and it's not what it was and whatever, you know?
And she couldn't have told you that when you weren't on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fantastic. Jonathan, sorry to hear about that, but thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Have a good day.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If your proposal got met with a no, we'd like to talk to you next. Brand new song from MGMT called Kids. First time we've heard that. On the world famous K-Rock at 8:43.
Speaking of brand new music on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's been a great couple of weeks for it, and we've got some highlights of the new Muse album for you in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're talking about marriage proposals gone bad. Kevin found a story about a poor guy who wheeled himself in his wheelchair for 4 days to get to his beloved, only to be
130 miles in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Only to be rejected when he got there. Nope, not going to marry you. He had to turn around and go back in his little wheelchair, which is very sad. If you do a YouTube search, by the way, on rejected marriage proposals, a whole bunch of them comes up. Here's a little taste of audio, and then we'll go right to your phone calls of a guy at an NBA game. They bring his girlfriend out under the guise of she's there to win tickets.
Love it.
For some upcoming games, right? She's blindfolded, and she goes around, and she stops when she hits something, and it's her boyfriend who's ready to propose, and they hand him the microphone.
Honey.
He's down on his knees. He pulls out the ring.
Honey, are you there?
She starts shaking her head no. She turns and she runs off the court. Listen to the crowd.
That was the best.
Ooh.
That was the best. Didn't just say no, but turned and literally ran away.
Don't you think a lot of women just say yes because it's a and later they go,
yes.
Dude, I
in public,
I don't want to embarrass you, but
in public you
should
say yes.
It would be hard to go back. once you've said yes in public, but I think it would be kinder.
If you care at all about the person that's there, you don't want to embarrass them
that much. That's
she
so
ran.
Awful.
She didn't just go, I don't know, it's a rough time. Ran.
Yeah.
Ran. Yeah, she did. Just shook her head and said, and ran, right? All right, let's talk to Carlos real quick. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Marriage proposals that were rejected. Carlos, thanks for holding on. What happened?
What's going on? Well, about like 4 months ago, my sister was having her sweet 15, and I had my baby's mom with me, and we've been together for 4 years. And I asked her in front of everybody, family, friends, mostly family, and I asked her, babe, we've been together for 4 years, and I want to know if you will marry me. And she just looked at me, says no, and just took off.
You guys have a baby together.
Yeah, a two-year-old.
Wow, that would be rough in front of friends and family. That would be harder, I think, than in public.
But then, like, 3 weeks later, I find out that she has a boyfriend.
Excellent.
Oh, man, I was like, damn.
Excellent.
So, did you guys break up then?
Yeah, we broke up. Like, yeah, we still talk and we still, do our nasty thing, but like it's more like, whatever, do what you gotta do.
Who got the Raiders tickets when you guys broke up? Who got the Raiders tickets? Do you get them or does she get them?
I did.
You get them. Okay. All right. That's what I figured. All right. Thanks very much. You can tell a Raiders fan, you just can't tell a bunch. Let's talk to Melissa. She is on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Melissa, what's going on?
Hi.
Hi there. What happened?
Well, it was Valentine's Day, and he's my fiancé now, but I got all balled up and everything. We had been together for just shy of 2 years.
Okay.
And I bought, a sexy little outfit and everything, and made him dinner and all that, and then I asked him. And he basically gave me the, it's not you, it's me, we're too young. We were 22 at the time.
Okay.
Well, that is pretty young.
Yeah. Now, wait a second. So you proposed to him. Could that have been part of the problem? Is a guy, he may be a guy who wanted to do the proposing?
I think it was because I kind of, gave him the cold shoulder for a week. And then, he was like, I love you. I want to be with you. It's just not the right time. And then in August... On our 3 year anniversary,
2 or 3 months later,
in August on our 3 year anniversary, he proposed to me,
and you said no.
No, I told him yes.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
You should have said no.
That would have been
funny.
Once you recognize the opportunity for comedy,
I was mad. I said,
it's not you, it's me.
Why didn't you say? He said, well, I didn't think of it as the right time, and I'm all, what's changed in the last few months? What's changed? Nothing.
And then you stormed out.
Wow, he signed on to hear this voice for the rest of his life. That is
thank you for calling,
remarkable.
Melissa.
We appreciate it. All right, let's close with how about Jesse on line two? Hey, Jesse, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
What'd you do,
Jesse?
So mine's not quite as public, but it's just as disturbing. I was dating this girl. She was an intern for Burning Man from the Netherlands, and I dated her and went back and forth between San Francisco and Reno to be with her for about 3 years.
Oh, when she would come to town for Burning Man?
Well, she was an intern for Burning Man, so
because that's outside Reno.
Yeah, she worked in San Francisco where their base is.
Okay, all right.
All right, so you had a long-distance relationship for about 3 years. Then what happened?
Right, yeah. And then so I decided I wanted to quit my union job, great benefits and all, and move to the Netherlands to be with her when she went back.
Right.
And so I lived there and got a job and everything.
Wow.
Lived there for 6 months. And then my mom and I talked about it. I wanted to discuss it with my parents. But my mom wanted to help me pick out the ring, so she offered to pay for me to fly back to the States, and I did, and we went and picked out the ring.
Oh, my God.
And then I came back to the Netherlands, and I asked her to marry me, and she said, I don't think my parents would approve of you. And so after quitting a great job and moving all the way around the world to be with her, she says no.
Well, Jesse, nothing personal, but you get a yes before you quit your job.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Well, everything was going so great. I figured, I'll go live in Amsterdam for a few months.
Sure.
And try it out.
That was cool, that part.
Sure.
Yeah, that was great up until I got denied, you know.
Wow. That's the best. Well, right. At least you got to fly back and forth to Netherlands a bunch of times, and that's fun.
Yeah, 17 hours. Yeah, that's great.
Ouch.
It was totally worth it.
Did you break up with her then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. through the ring, somewhere in a river near Amsterdam.
Excellent. That's a good use of your money. Okay, Jesse, thank you.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8:57.
Keep talking. I'm still eating. I got breakfast going here.
What are
sorry.
You eating? You can't wait for a second? We got to do showbiz.
I didn't know we were there, so close to the end of the song there. Hold on.
Wow.
All right. Kevin and Bean Show, David Alan Greer in the next hour. Right now, time for the showbiz beat. Ralph is on jury duty today. He's hoping to get out of it, hoping he does not get selected for a jury, hoping he will be back tomorrow to do showbiz the way it was meant to be done. In the meantime, we're filling in. And Kevin, you've got exciting rock and roll news for us to get us started.
Yes, from NME.com, we found out that Muse, who has the new CD coming out September 14th, has put 30 seconds of every one of the songs on the CD on their website.
That is
wow.
very cool.
Their songs used to be so much longer. It's just weird. I don't know if that's they're getting lazy or what.
These are just clips. They're not the whole songs, Pete.
Seem tiny.
Just a 30-second piece. So we have some of them if you'd like to hear what the new Muse is going to sound like.
I would.
And I think it sounds awesome. The first one is Resistance.
We can hide the truth inside.
So that's the first one.
Okay.
Here's one called Undisclosed Desires. Sounds like that could have been Depeche Mode, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. Muse is on the cusp of being the biggest band in the world. They have been working toward that with the success of their last couple records, and I know everybody's waiting to see what this new one sounds like.
Here's a little clip of Guiding Light. Break the bank on lyrics on that one, but okay.
I don't mean this in any way as a slight on Radiohead, because I think they're a great band. But Muse sometimes reminds me of what Radiohead would sound like if they had continued going in the direction that their earlier albums were, where they kind of make more traditional
where they
pop
kept writing
rock
songs.
Music. Well, yeah. With melodies that kind of hang together like a song. Right, exactly. Do you know what I'm saying? Doesn't it sound like kind of Muse's like that a little bit? Because Radiohead, you know, went off more in the ambient direction. But they're both great bands, and I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, this is called Resistance. It comes out September 14th, a 30-second clip of Unnatural Selection. Come on.
Good times.
This sounds
good times.
Awesome. I can't wait for this CD.
And
finally, I Belong to You. One last clip.
When she attacks me like a Leo, when my heart is split like Rio, when I assure you my debts are real.
That is going to be a good CD.
That sounds really good.
We have some very exciting Muse news coming soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We can't tell you anything about it right now, but I think you're going to be very pleased if you like Muse like we do. Let's just do two casting notes for you, and then we'll get the hell out of here and make room for David Alan Greer coming up in a minute. I'm going to start with this one, just published in the London Sun this morning. We've been waiting for this announcement for a long time. You know the A-Team movie that they're making, right?
Yep.
Well, Liam Neeson has already been confirmed in the film. Bradley Cooper has already been confirmed in the field. Liam Neeson is going to play Hannibal, which is the George Peppard character. Face is going to be played by Bradley Cooper. But everybody's like, who's going to be Mr. T? Who's going to play Baracus, right? B.A. Baracus.
Right.
Quentin Rampage Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
Yeah!
Remember, he was kind of lobbying for that. He was saying he'd be great for that, and we agreed. And we were hoping somehow that that would happen. But the rumors have been flying that the game was up for it, that 50 Cent had expressed some interest in it. But it's going to be Quentin Rampage Jackson playing Mr. T's role in the A-Team movie.
How about that?
I think he's going to be awesome in that role. He has the personality. He has the look. I can't wait.
And there's another report that's coming out of England that Megan Fox is playing Catwoman in the next Batman movie.
No kidding.
And we know that that has been rumored before, and there's no official statement from the movie company yet. But this is one of the tabloids in England that is saying it's a done deal. She is going to be Catwoman.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember Catwoman, because you may not be as huge a fan, but pretty tight outfit.
Like skin tight?
Pretty much. Straight skin tight
not
outfit.
Not much to the imagination tight. Yeah.
Yes. I think it's a good role for her. I mean, hasn't Michelle Pfeiffer and Halle Berry have both played Catwoman in the last few years, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so Megan Fox is Catwoman. I dig it. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Ola Ray is the name you may not know. She is an actress and playmate, but you'll remember her if you ever saw the Michael Jackson Thriller video. She played his girlfriend in that movie. And by the way, she has been in the news herself lately because she has joined the list of creditors to the Michael Jackson estate since his death. She is continuing to assert that she has not been paid royalties from the Thriller video due to her appearance in it all those years ago. So it's weird. You'd think that that would be the kind of role you would get hired as an actress. You'd get paid. You'd go home. I didn't anticipate that Ola Ray would get paid forever for that movie.
Right.
But that must be how they worked it out. Anyway, Ola is 49 years old today. Our friend Adrian Young from No Doubt turns 40 today. Actors Macaulay Culkin and Chris Pine. Talk about very different careers. Are both 29 today. But the reason we celebrate is today is Corky Day, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. The star of TV's Life Goes On, Chris Burke, turns 44. Chris, how are you spending your birthday today?
I got to be not? In my valley.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I can't do it anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
Do you ever listen to yourself?
That is the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 14 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That sounds to me like the great David Alan Greer joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. Come on.
I didn't think I was going to get on because, you know, you guys have me pushed. What is it, 11 a.m. now?
No.
Are you guys still on? Is this just for the internet or is this the real radio
station? This is actually on.
We were not. David Alan Greer has alimony to pay, so he'll be doing a lot of stand up in months to come, including.
That's true. Hey, Indianapolis! Woo!
It's very true. This Friday through Sunday at the Brea Improv in downtown Brea, Dag is going to be on stage. What have you been up to, man? How you been? Thursday through Sunday. All right. Once again, I'm giving incorrect information, but I appreciate the correction.
This Saturday is the next May. Dag will be. I've been great, man. How you guys been?
We've been good.
Is it true that you wrote a book?
Yes, I did.
And it's coming out next month. Wrote a book.
I had some help. I did have a ghost, as they call it, in the industry.
Yeah. Which means ghost. Somebody who wrote the whole thing?
No.
Oh. No.
What is it?
It's called Barack Like Me, and it's a part memoir, if you get that play on words.
I did. I thought that was funny.
It's part memoir, and it's all about leading up to the election of Barack Obama. A humorous look at that whole time. I went to the inauguration, which was my Woodstock for black people.
Right.
And so we talk about all that stuff, and it's good. I'm really happy with it.
Were you one of the many celebrities who worked for Senator Obama during the campaign, like got the vote out and all that kind of stuff?
No, and that may be why I got the purple tickets.
The purple tickets were not
about that.
They were not up close?
Well, it wasn't what I was promised, but you have to read the book.
What were you promised? How far were you?
I was offered the platinum, VIP platinum celebrity package. I was like, really?
And what is that?
Yeah, it's like this package.
Right up close.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when you get to go out with Tom Hanks on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and introduce Maya Angelou,
like I was
right?
Holding the Lincoln Bible, you know.
Wow. Like,
you know, that close.
And have lunch in the Situation Room.
Exactly. It devolved, you know, just down to.
So then you didn't get that?
Tickets.
Now, forgive my ignorance here, Dag, but what's the tie-in between President Obama, his run for the White House, and your memoirs? Why are they told concurrently in the same
book?
Well,
I mean, it's not. It's just part, just giving people an idea of where I came from and where my head was at politically and culturally at the start of this event. It wasn't, you know, that's the connection. It's
so
just
the connection,
you know,
I'm African
American. Right. I'm an African American. This is the world I grew up in. And this thing is happening at this point in my life. And I just wanted to document it and be funny and great and fabulous, too.
Like always.
Right. Which is why you needed the ghostwriter.
Well, no, it was time. It was like, you know, great. We'll buy the book. Get it in next week. I was like, what?
Oh, do this God. For me.
You're black. Go, 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 go.
What does that mean?
How different do you think, as the man you've just described, America is now that Barack Obama has been president for 7 months or whatever it is?
He's trying to make a difference, man. But, you know, Washington
people
is hard.
Don't like
people
it.
People do not want to change. People don't want to change. They don't want to do anything differently. There's too many millions. When you go to Washington, everybody is on the government payroll. I mean, nobody. That's like going in the post office and saying, look, we're going to bring computers in. You guys down with me? They're like, no, 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 no. I mean, it just, so he's trying to do it. You know.
We'll so it's see. A massive, massive fight it's where you're met with resistance no matter what you say or do.
Yes,
I imagine.
Yes.
I mean, that's true. It was true with President Bush. It's true with President Obama that you met with, you know, violent opposition to everything that you say. Yeah.
Well, these town hall meetings are really great.
They're the best.
Finally. Who is the guy who goes, excuse me, what planet are you from?
Barney Frank.
Barney Frank. That was
Nazi
hilarious.
And the Nazi. I know. He just took the steam out of all of her stuff. And she was like, never mind.
But it's just awesome. So funny because, like, which one is it? It's either Harold or Kumar who quit the House show to go to go work for President Obama. And you're thinking, I know, I understand the idealism of, hey, democracy is great and I can change the world. But once you get out there into Washington, D.C., you find out it's almost impossible to get anything done.
Not only that, it's just I wouldn't want to work there.
No, neither.
For no money and just with a suit on all day and like just, you know, I wouldn't.
And it seems like a lot of positions all the way up the ladder, no one cares what you think. You're not one of the important people, so they don't ask.
Apparently.
Seems like it.
No one thought, well, a lot of people thought in Bush's administration, you know, so.
Do you, is there a Soul Brother hotline where you can get the president's ear if you need to? Like
Twitter.
Oh, you do it through the Twitter? Because, like, he had dinner with Oprah last night, you know, on vacation.
I can't have dinner. My mom called up and she said, this man at my church, he wants you to give this letter to Oprah. I was like, what are you nuts? What are you, I don't know Oprah. Oh, she was really shocked. She's like, wow, I didn't know what to tell him because I thought, you know, you'd been on the show. I mean, the show you forgot to watch? I don't know Oprah.
Wait, you were on Oprah?
Yeah.
And your mom didn't watch?
And she had to drive my sister.
Really? She didn't TiVo it or whatever?
She probably didn't have the TiVo. Night.
You were
she did.
On Oprah.
She had it. She had it.
She watches Oprah every day.
Every day, but when I was on.
You were on. She had something to do.
Oh, yeah. I was like, really, Mom? She goes, well, the tire was low and the air.
Sorry. We assume that all celebrities know all celebrities. Like, right. You go home and you're sharing a bunk bed with Dave Chappelle. I mean, that's just how it works in our minds.
I know Dave Chappelle, but not like that. I mean, I can call him if it's emergency.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can call people and say, look, I need to get in touch with this person. And we hook up.
But we don't know how that works. It seems to us like once you become a celebrity, you're in that group and you have access to all other celebrities.
Yeah,
all celebrities,
right? They certainly take your call.
If you want.
They will. I could get
they
through
would,
there.
Right?
Probably not to Barack Obama, but eventually.
But to
it would
Oprah,
probably
I bet you could.
No.
I could. I mean, there's a producer that I could call and all that stuff. And,
all right. Let me put it another way, David. What's the biggest celebrity whose personal phone number you have in your cell phone?
I wouldn't tell you because then we wouldn't be friends anymore.
Yeah, there is that.
Really?
Yeah. I can't
Jimmy
tell
Kimmel,
that.
I know you got Jimmy's number in your cell phone.
I couldn't confirm that. Who is this, Jimmy? No, I wouldn't. I mean, if I say it, then they're not going to. You know, wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. You know, ask
why
me
because they'd be embarrassed that they were outed as your
listen,
friend.
You know what? That may be it.
Now, let me ask you this.
God. Yes,
again,
Your Honor.
Well, we're just fascinated with
you. You are under oath, by the way.
You are under oath. All right, let me ask you this. We have this conversation all the time. By the way, if you're just joining us, our friend David Alan Greer is in studio Thursday through Sunday on stage doing his hilarious stand-up at the Bray Improv.
What?
We'll talk about that in a minute, but let me ask my question first. Are you at the point, because you're a big star and everyone loves you, can you use your celebrity for evil in that if you are watching True Blood, you go, I got to get on Anna Paquin, and you could pick up the phone and call and make that happen?
Well, someone's on her. I have a friend who was on the show, and I was trying to get information out of him, and he's like, he wouldn't give it to me. He's one of my best friends. Yeah, he was like, you know, because they make you sign non-disclosure things.
But she's
and everybody.
Engaged to her co-star now, right?
She is. Yeah, she is.
I've seen Vampire Dude Bill is on her. I've seen that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? The difference between you and me, though, is I watch a chick on TV and I go, man, she's hot. But you're David Alan Greer. You could actually pick up the phone and date that girl, is what I'm saying.
Perhaps. I'm a little long in the tooth. I got to get my knees done, get my arches out.
Get this replaced.
Yeah. I'll be back in the club, baby. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I could get to her and say, look, I really like this actress, and go from there, you know.
Have you ever done that?
Do you?
I have done that in the past. But I don't really date actresses. I don't want anyone. I'm like a policeman. I don't want to. When I come home, I don't want to talk about what happened in the patrol car. I just want to be with the person I'm with. I don't really want to be like,
you're not like a policeman.
Honey, look at this. Okay, I'm going to tell you a joke, and you tell me, because when I said it on the set, it just killed. I'm not that guy.
You don't want any of that.
No, I don't want to do that.
All right, we need to take a break. David Alan Greer is here.
I know you sound disappointed, okay? All right, this is the biggest
Because we would use that power for evil. That's what we're saying.
Well, like, what would you do?
Well, like, we'd come home after seeing Transformers, and we'd figure out a way to call Megan Fox, because we could. That's what we'd do.
Right?
She's pretty hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you get through to her?
I don't know.
Can we try?
That would take me days. You have to give me a week in advance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll have you back in next Wednesday.
Yeah, I got to get my Billy.
And we want a pair of Megan Fox's panties, okay?
Oh, Nelly.
Well, we just need proof. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Nelly. You want DNA. You worn or unworn?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We'll take a quick break and return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Pretty cool thing. Damn. So we'll give that away at 5 on the world famous K-Rock. Right now it's 9:30.
Why is David Alan Greer sighing so heavily?
Well, I just want to ask.
Have we disappointed him?
Yeah, you have. Because you asked me that question when we were off the air. What did you ask me? You said, David, have you ever shown up somewhere when you're not supposed to be there?
Yes.
How dare you?
Because
how dare you? What are you referring to, Mister? Well, what is your name, sir?
Kevin.
Whatever.
Wasn't there a day, if I'm not mistaken, where you showed up here?
I don't know.
And we
what
had
you're talking
no knowledge
about.
Of it. We thought you were going to come in later in the week or the next day.
No,
or...
I was scheduled to be here,
but you weren't.
No, I was. Alex called me and she said you're late and you got to get here.
Right, but she didn't. It was the wrong day.
Dad, you can come any day you want, man. We're always happy to see you.
Well, because you did that.
Yeah, well, how many rock star people don't show up? Aren't you used to that? Like,
well,
hey, you know, Pearl Jam was supposed to be here.
More, but you're the only one, Bean, that has ever come on a day early.
Ah, you just said Bean. You don't even know who I am, sucker.
You're like, that's your Bean.
No, I will tell you.
I did it more than once, too. How many times did I do it?
Couple
two
times.
Or three times?
Well, have you really?
Like I can only think of one other person that's ever showed up unexpected.
Oh, boy.
Well, first of all, the professor from Gilligan's Island showed up before we did one day. We came into work at 5 a.m., and the freaking professor was already sitting in the office. That did happen one time.
Is that dude still alive, the professor?
He is. He is still alive. Yeah.
Wow.
And then we had the great country singer-songwriter Hoyt Axton show up at our radio station completely out of the blue. Like, we had no idea why he was there.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the guy who wrote Joy to the World and a bunch of other songs. But
he hung out with very famous people.
Right.
Like Woody.
He showed up at our radio station one day, and I think he was trying to go to another radio station. But so it's just the three of you, basically. It's
your
the professor
show.
From Gilligan's Island, Hoyt Axton, and you.
Wow. Your show used to suck ass.
Yeah.
You think? That was a terrible guess.
But we didn't book Hoyt Axton.
Wow.
It was someplace else.
With Hoyt Axton and the professor? You guys are really slinging it. Probably
breakfast at K-Rod. With the professor and Hoyt Axton.
High caliber guests. Now, Kevin, was it Millie or Vanilli? Was that somebody who just showed up, or were they actually invited? Do you remember when that guy came by?
I don't. I think they were invited. Because it was well after that whole thing happened, and we wanted to talk to Millie or Vanilli, whichever one was still alive.
I'm
not in good company.
No, you're not. No.
But the great David Alan Greer is always welcome on the program, and you can see him, it turns out, Friday through Sunday.
Hey,
ixnay on the Thursday, Faye, but Friday through Sunday at the break.
If you play the tape back, I was kidding.
You corrected Bean, and you
just
were a little
annoyed.
Just
like on Dancing with the Stars, I was kidding.
No.
You're kidding, man.
By the way, Dag.
What?
If you were on this season of Dancing with the Stars that has been announced, you would be the A-plus level star. You'd be the biggest name
Sean
out of that group.
Sean Penn and extras. That's how big I'd be. Because I don't know. And they're twice as many.
Yeah.
That Red Room is going to be very hot and sweaty this year.
Yeah.
Like, are you glad you did that, Dancing with the Stars?
I just
or was it a pain in the ass and too much work and not worth the
payoff? It was really a lot of work.
But like, let's say you're at a formal party and a woman walks up and wants to whatever dance
waltz.
You waltz. You could do it.
No, I can't.
You could throw it down. No. What?
I know my choreography because that's all the time you have. Oh. I know my minute of choreography for the Viennese waltz.
Oh, so you don't learn the actual waltz? You learn that?
I don't have time.
That minute.
You don't have time. All but people were very excited. They still are. I was just in Dallas like 2 weeks ago, and they're like, yeah, whatever, all the stuff you know, Dancing with a Star. Yeah, I was like, really? Is that like the center square?
Was that the guy we told the idea would never work, Bean?
Yes. Probably. We had Dancing with the Stars was preparing to debut in the United States. They'd had tremendous success around the world, and we had the executive producer on, and we said, listen, I don't know what kind of a foreigner you are or what you think you know about our country, but we're Americans, damn it, and we're telling you this S will not fly here.
I'm with you.
Fast forward. They're like 8 seasons in. It's the biggest show on television.
And it's gotten bigger.
It has, I know.
And I don't know about this season. They may have stumbled, but up until I came on there, it was bigger and bigger.
Would you see your the jump the shark moment?
Yes. Probably. That's perhaps.
All right.
I did get to hang out with Lawrence Taylor, who is like my idol.
That's
I used
pretty
to
cool.
Tell
really?
These, like, you know, questionable PAs that were like, you know, Lawrence who? I'm like, he's the greatest football player ever.
How do you not know Lawrence Taylor?
I don't know. Larry, can I call him Larry? I don't know. Lawrence Taylor, you're wanted in the red room.
You know, so it was cool to hang out with him. It was really cool.
You don't follow the Lions still, though, do you?
I don't follow football.
You don't follow. You love Lawrence Taylor, but you don't follow football.
Well, not anymore. I'm not really. I don't follow baseball. I'm really into the NBA. The
basketball
NBA
only.
And swimming and this 18-year-old.
Did you say
running,
swimming?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
The 18-year-old running phenom from South Africa.
The man woman?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I love that story.
It was awesome. He's like, yeah, I just want to say to test me sexually is a violation of my rights as a young woman.
Yes. And she sounds like that.
Yeah.
But you know, and her build is like a man. Everything about her is manly.
But I remember when I was a kid and you'd see those big, huge, like Chinese chick, and they would say, we got to test her.
Right.
I mean, they did it with the Russians, the Bulgarians.
The German swimmers and whatever you call the
most track and field discus throwing. Right. So I don't know what the controversy is. I mean, it's
well, what do you think is going on with her in her undies there?
And by her, you mean him.
Well, I think a lot of things. I think what happened is I think we're in a more like PC area when it comes to man or woman sexual identity.
Hermaphrodite. Right.
Yeah, but here's the deal. They said you should never test anyone sexually. So if that's the case, then we should put on skirts and, you know, run against the women because it won't be fair. That's why you have to know.
It seems
that's why
course.
They divided it up because, you know, women, a top running woman, a woman is not going to compete with the top, like, 100-meter runner that's a male.
That's
so that's
true.
Why. So you have to kind of draw the line somewhere.
Colors, but what I didn't know colors and races. Colors and races are all the same. Men
Excuse
and women,
me?
Not
yeah.
the same.
No, not the same.
Not at all.
What I didn't know until I started seeing a lot of stories on this, though, is that there is an ambiguity somewhere in the middle of someone who is technically female but has some male chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that? They said that, well, maybe she has some XYs going on in there, but that doesn't necessarily mean she's a man. She could still be a woman. I'm very puzzled by the whole thing.
I am, too, and I don't know. I can't.
Would you hit that?
Well, it depends. In the
Are you
circumstance, I need to see what's down there, first of all.
It might be very entertaining, right?
I tell you, I don't know.
Not good things either way.
No.
Whichever
looks
one
ugly.
It is. Yes.
Either way,
you don't want to experience that.
I was so happy to win the race.
We got to take a break. David Alan Greer is here, but Friday through Sunday night, he'll be at the Brea Improv. We'll return with the Showbiz Beat right after this. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is jury duty today. David Alan Greer is here. We're going to do the Showbiz Beat in a second. Dag, have you been able to escape jury duty or have they caught you yet?
Unfortunately, I have a very tight work schedule, but I haven't been able to complete my jury duty, but I am.
What do you do with the letters when they send them to you?
I call my lawyer and my agent and
he's got people. He's got people to handle it. Okay.
I'm usually working. I mean, it's always a time when they.
Well, everybody's usually working. That's not an excuse to get out of jury duty. The court says. The court says you still have to be there, though.
Well, I complied with whatever they do. I call the people. And they reschedule me, or we do something else.
Gotcha.
This is effing shaky. I'm telling you.
No,
right
I'm
now.
Just, you know, because that's what I said. Because Michael Jackson
is celebrity
alive
card.
And stuff. And
Michael Jackson is alive. That's
all right. Well, why don't we start with that as we attempt to fill in for Ralph and the Showbiz Beat? I'm a little bit nervous with Kevin and Bean doing the Showbiz Beat when we got Mr. Chocolate News here in the studio because he knows how to do this better than we do.
Canceled, but go ahead.
Michael Jackson is alive. There's video posted. I guess the original source is liveleak.com, but now it's everywhere. It's on Tyler Durden. You can see it on the Channel 5 Los Angeles website, KTLA. Kevin, describe the video for folks who haven't seen it yet.
Well, there's a coroner's van, and you see the coroner's van go into a parking garage, mm-hmm. and the video is being taken from outside the parking garage so that, you know, gate comes down, but a gate that you can see through. And there's a dude, the back doors of the coroner's van open. Supposedly, this is the one that Michael Jackson was in.
Yeah.
And there's a huge security guard standing in front of him, and he kind of blocks a guy as he gets out of the coroner's van, and they move and they walk inside.
Yeah,
and they're
but why
saying,
would he do that? Why would he do that?
Because it's Michael Jackson.
Exactly! Exactly, Tim. Have you seen it? Because when you look at it from far away, right. I know that's Michael Jackson.
Right, but you can't see him.
But why? Because it's Michael Jackson, right? Come on. Why would you block him if it wasn't him?
It's not...
Well, maybe you were just standing
know?
There.
No,
maybe you
no,
really,
no, just, no.
Haven't they Hello? Had 17 autopsies on him by now?
You know how I can prove it?
How?
Okay, this is my cell phone. Ring, ring, ring. Hello? What do you say to me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, it's David. Why would I say that if I'm dead? Right? That's Michael Jackson. That's what I mean. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay. Lost me.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's Michael Jackson.
It is.
Okay.
Okay.
He's dead.
No, it's not. That's him right there.
That
you could tell.
Awesome.
Because he has that white shirt on like Michael Jackson wore on several occasions, right?
Sure.
And he has longer hair kind of like.
Can't see his hair.
Yeah, you can't. I can see it.
You
I saw
can't
it.
See hair.
I just saw it.
Mm.
And that's a racist comment anyway, because you said black people can't see hair. Whatever. That's
no,
Michael
no,
Jackson.
No one can see hair.
Hey,
I hope it is.
All right, let me ask you this. If it weren't Michael Jackson, why weren't that guy closer? Why wasn't that guy like closer to that? Exactly, because it's Michael Jackson!
Because you're saying if it wasn't him, that
right.
person could have been much closer.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
Exactly,
so,
thank
so
you.
So you want to believe, basically.
No, I don't want to believe, man. I just want to, you know, be honest. And that's Michael Jackson. His new album's coming out in a year, and I can't wait. Gonna be
well,
awesome.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This
right.
is the final. This is
right.
the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
You couldn't come up with a better name than that? I'm through. I'm done. I'm done.
This is it.
And, oh yeah, I'm alive, too. That's how we had it, ended that conversation. But
that
the
part.
Man didn't want you to hear that part. All right. Dag, I want to get your opinion to the Chris Brown sentencing yesterday. As you know, he was, he was in court to receive his sentence after beating up his girlfriend, Rihanna. Here's what he got, and tell me if you think this is fair based on your knowledge of the case, okay?
All right.
Also, keeping in mind how hot Rihanna is, and my policy is you never hit a hot woman. That's what I've been saying for years.
Well, that is admirable.
Never hit a
you
woman.
Can make, you can make love to her angrily, but you know.
That you can do.
As long as she's into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Only if she has to hit me harder. All right. All right.
But we've also established on this program, and tell me if you agree with this, Dag, is that it's not rape if you yell surprise. That's also the policy.
That is not the policy of the show.
I can't sign on to that.
No, that is not.
All right, here's what Chris Brown got. You tell me if this seems fair to you. 5 years probation, no jail time, 5 years probation, 6 months community labor, which is going to be cleaning up graffiti.
Service, not labor. Service.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Says labor, but yeah, picking up trash, that sort of thing.
I'm asking because, you know, like when T.I., had to do all his community service.
Yeah, they call it community
he
service.
He did an MTV show.
Right.
So that's not really labor. You know what I'm saying? He's right. not with an orange suit
well,
picking up trash.
Well, maybe they say labor because they're not going to let him just do promos.
All right.
Something.
That's all I'm just saying.
I don't know.
That's true.
Listen, wow, don't jump
I'm
on me.
I'm just suggesting.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah,
I also, you, honey.
He also has to stay away from Rihanna for the next 5 years.
Whoa. What?
You heard 5 years he's got to stay away from Rihanna.
That is outrageous.
He is not allowed to contact the singer at all,
what?
Including via phone or another person.
Wait a minute.
He must stay 100 yards away from her, except at an industry event, like, let's say the Grammys or something, where they're both required their attendance. The distance then is just 10 yards. He has to remain away from her. he also has a 52-week domestic violence program.
Oh, my God.
And has to pony up a total of $5,000 for restitution and probation charges. If you were the judge in the case... What would your sentence have been for Chris Brown?
Well, I mean, just put it like this. I think back when OJ was like being put on trial, there was a case during that trial where a guy walked in on his wife having sex with another man. He killed them both, and he never did a day in jail. Because,
really?
Yeah, because he said it was a crime of passion. He went temporarily insane. He lost his mind.
And he got away with it.
Well, he snapped back, you know, once the bullets, you know,
sure.
burned. I swear to you.
No, I believe you.
So,
I don't
given
believe him.
That, given that... I assume if Chris Brown has never been arrested, he has no history.
So if it's a first offense, I guess.
Yeah. And also, reread everything you read to me. To me, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. Like, I could not keep it together like that, that you just told me 5 years, 50 yards, 100 yards in this situation. You can't do this. You can't do that. I don't know if he's going to make it. So
really?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You mean they're setting him up to go back? I don't know.
I mean, I'm just, when you ask me this stuff, it's not emotional. It's legal. And, you know. That's what it sounds like. The prisons are overcrowded, you know, with knuckleheads, and that's probably what they would give anybody. Yeah.
Okay. I hear you.
Although it was brutal. I mean, I don't, you know, condone in any way his actions and, you know, but he was driving a Lamborghini, man. She took the keys. I mean, you know. I can understand, you know, what it's like. What? I don't own that.
And finally, what rock star spent most of the night behind bars? Yes, it was Patrick Stump. Who? He's the lead singer of Fall Out Boy. He was arrested last night in Hollywood. According to TMZ, he was busted around midnight on a traffic warrant for driving without a license out of Beverly Hills. So he apparently posted $15,000 bail and was released at around 4:30 this morning. And you got to go to TMZ.com and see the mugshot because it is hilarious. It does look like something out of Appalachia. It's with his hair all wrapped around his head and stuff. It's very, very funny.
TMZ is awesome. I don't know how they get those people out all hours of the day and night.
They sure got them
to just follow.
Do they follow you? You ever had an encounter with a TMZ cameraman?
A couple of them, but you got to play dead. That's what you got to
play
do.
Dead.
Play dead. You just have to be. You can't look. You can't respond. You just have to be dead.
Just ignore them, and then it's not good tape for them.
It's not good tape. It's not even if you eye contact, no smiling, no twinkle, twinkle, wink. You just have to be dead.
They sucker so many in with those ridiculous questions. They ask them everything that comes to their mind, and all of a sudden, somebody who was playing dead now has an answer. And
they'll follow you too for a long time, like an hour, and then they get like 10 from 10 seconds of material.
Got it.
But I watch TMZ, and I don't know half these people. You know that guy who stood next to that dude that was on that show, not Gossip Girl, the one that was supposed to be Gossip Girl that didn't make it on the air. He's picking his nose. Best Buy, check him out.
I'm like, today's celebrity birthdays. Our friend Adrian Young from the great band No Doubt turns 40 today. Congratulations, Adrian. Captain Kirk from the Star Trek Enterprise. Actor Chris Pine is 29 years old today. Macaulay Culkin is also 29. And Chris Burke, ladies and gentlemen, Corky from Life Goes On turns 44 today. Lisa, you got one more in you? One more Corky? How you celebrating your birthday?
I'm going to have a voiceover. And we're going to play games, and have balloons, and presents.
Yay! That's awesome. What are you doing this weekend? Why don't you open for me in Brea?
I'm so completely embarrassed.
David Alan Greer on stage at the Brea Improv, 120 South Brea Boulevard, downtown Brea, Friday through Sunday. Please go to improv.com or call 714-482-0700. Don't judge today's performance. On stage, he's hilarious.
How
thank you, Dad.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings. We have Bobcat Goldthwait in the studio. And you said on your first date, I'll be right back, and left. That's what we need on tomorrow morning's show, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Man.
Michael Jackson's alive.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from Weezer. We also got some Ataris, by the way, Alice in Chains, and their latest Sublime, Amberlin, and more straight ahead after this on